Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is January 15th, 2009, Thursday. And as promised, you don't just get Jason Burmes today sitting in for Alex Jones. Alex is taking a well-deserved vacation. But Bob Dacey will be riding shotgun with us the full 4 hours. How are you today, Bob?
Jason, I'm doing fantastic. I haven't seen you for a few months, and I'm glad to see you. I know you were on my show about three times last year, and so I think I already know you pretty good. And I'll try to say something. I mean, you're kind of a chatterbox, so I'll just try to stick something in when I can.
Oh, yeah. Bob, of course, has his Access TV show out here in beautiful Austin, Texas. It is great out here. You know, I come in here without even a jacket, and they're getting jacked in the Northeast with just, you know, the global warming storm of the century, apparently. Apparently, this is what global warming is. You get 8 to 16 inches of snow and ice and skin-burning temperatures from the cold.
I've been told by the global warming experts that it's because of my pickup truck.
You know what? Maybe the global warming experts include Obama's new global warming czar. This is a few days old now, but it's out of the Washington Times. She's listed as one of the 14 leaders of the socialist group's Commission for a Sustainable World Society. That's a sustainable world society. And, of course, they're always talking about overpopulation, people like Joe Biden. And, of course, they are calling for global governance. But Obama doesn't seem to have a problem with that. I wonder why.
Well, that's because change is not change. I mean, we're talking about out with the old CFR members and in with the new CFR members. Now, I don't think she is a CFR member, but I'm sure if she's a member of that society, she's a globalist, she's a one-worlder. You know, I mean, that's all they're doing. They're just bringing out the new one-worlders and replacing them with the old one-worlders. It's what you call change.
And I've been just pumping through the news in the first 5 minutes. So you were telling me that Obama had a new appointment earlier today.
Yeah, I understand that he appointed Richard Haass to be one of his foreign policy advisors. And of those of you who don't know who Richard Haass is, he's only the president or the chairman or whatever of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's the head guy at the CFR. And so he's going to be advising Obama. I'm telling Obama what to do. I mean advising. Wait a minute. I'm not sure which I meant there. I think he's going to be telling Obama what to do.
I would pretty much assume that most people are going to be telling Obama what to do and how to say it in front of crowds, because this is a guy that is just a state senator up until 2004. Magically running for Senate, gets the keynote address at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, then wins his little Senate spot. And right out of the gates, I mean, there have been people in the Senate for years and years and years, but right out of the gates, he's up for the presidency. Literally less than 3 years in the Senate, and you know what? I'm running for president. I'm doing it.
They've groomed him very well. They've watered him. They pull the weeds, and, you know, here comes Obama. he's their guy, and there's no question about it, and he's going to do exactly what they tell him to do. He is a front man for an oligarchy, and that's it.
Yes, and you know what? They've packaged him so well that ESPN is going to be carrying the inauguration for the first time in history. And you know what? The reason I'm making this point is because I don't catch a whole lot of TV when I'm home, but I'll be over at my buddy's house, and I usually flip through the news stations, but I also like to check, you know, see how the Yankees or the Knicks are doing. You know, the Knicks were having a little bit better of a season. I haven't seen anything ESPN in a while, so I have no idea. But I see Obama's face on ESPN, and I'm like, all right. Now, this isn't a commercial for Obama. This is in the middle of ESPN Sports Center. I'm like, what's going on here? And my buddy's like, you haven't heard? I'm like, obviously not. Obama is for having a college football playoff. Now, I'm not big into college football, but when I do watch college basketball, it's usually March Madness. It's the tournament. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a great idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, that will make him, you'll like him now if he's going to be for a college playoff. That's a very key central issue in the United States of America today.
It absolutely is. Going along to get along, and because it seems good. I don't have to know how the country works. I don't have to know if there's checks and balances. I don't have to know if this is a good guy. He likes college football. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, TruthNews.us, and PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, filmmaker. I've made Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut. You can get both over at Infowars.com right now. We're with Bob Dacey, and I just want to remind everybody we have a jam-packed show. Bob, we're going to have Willem, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Willem Boutère, and he's going to be talking about the financial collapse. He's a Bank of England policymaker, and I guess we oversimplified unprecedented dollar collapse. So, you know, we're gonna straighten it out at the top of the next hour. Then at 1:30, we're going to have Officer Jack McLam, part of the Patriot Movement for 20-plus years now, a real veteran in this. And, you know, sometimes when I'm in Vanderbilt archives and I'm going through and looking for, you know, global government stuff, often they used to go to Jack McLam. So he's in these news clips in the early 80s and whatnot. And then, of course, we're going to have Russell Wood on at 2 o'clock for property rights. We're going to take your calls in the second half of the hour. Jam-packed show. And I want to touch again on the point that the old boss looks the same as the new boss. It looks like, you know, we're just trading in for more CFR guys. And, you know, one of the other things I talked about was earlier before the show is, who is Bush going to pardon in these last 5 days? So take it from there, Bob.
Well,
what do you think?
Look, about the CFR thing, look, it's kind of like treads on a car. You know, they're rotating the tires. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now they're pretty much bringing back in the Clinton people, and that's what they're doing. I mean, it's just nothing but old Clinton people. So they're just rotating the tires, but the vehicle's the same vehicle, and it's going in the same direction.
And you know what? I want to touch on that, too, because Ray McGovern came on yesterday, and he's a big fan of Leon Panetta. And
really?
Yeah, he was a man of integrity.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I like to have everybody on the show. I like to have everybody give their viewpoint. So,
sure.
You know, I'm going to challenge him on some things, but, you know, the administration's not in yet. So I'm going to give him a little grace period. But Leon Panetta was one of the chief of staffs of the Clinton administration during the selling of the bedroom scandals. I'm sure he was into a lot more than that. He may be pro-civil rights, but Panetta doesn't seem like the best guy in the world. Then, of course, we have Rahm Emanuel. He basically said he didn't like the appointment of Rahm Emanuel as Obama's chief of staff. But Rahm, of course, dual Israeli citizen, talks about conscription. We've been talking about that a lot on the show lately.
Is there a list for dual Israeli citizens that's actually like, okay, here it is, an official list. I am a citizen of Israel. Here it says it right here, and then I'm also a citizen of the United States. To me, you shouldn't be a dual citizen of anything if you want to be in the United States government. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it certainly seems like there would be a conflict of interest there, don't
I mean,
you think?
Did you hear what his dad said when they found out that Rahm Emanuel was going to be chief of staff?
No, I haven't heard. No, please, Bob, enlighten me.
When his dad is from Israel, he's an Israeli, and he was one of the fighters back in the good old days, you know?
Oh, the good old days.
And so he said that he was asked about his son, well, what do you think about him being a chief of staff in the White House? And he said, he's not going to be in there like an Arab washing the floors. I mean, he says this, you know. It's like, whoa, what do you think he's going to be, an Arab in there washing the floors? Ooh, I mean, wait a minute here. I mean, whatever happened to all those Muslims for Obama? I think they're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed because you got this Israeli agent as Obama's foreign, or as his
chief of staff.
Chief of staff. I mean, you got an Israeli agent as Obama's chief of staff. I can see these videos where you have these Muslims holding up their cards, Muslims for Obama. Oh, yeah, guess what? You're going to get the short end of the stick again, guys.
And well, you know what? Again, they've packaged this guy, you know, yes, we can. And my catchphrase is, no, you didn't.
yeah.
Basically, everything that, you know, people were like, we're going to get out of the war. Yes, we can. Yeah. And a few months in, I'll be saying, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
Actually, what they did is they redistributed forces from Iraq into Afghanistan. They created a media quagmire there.
Well, how about the expression, you been had?
Yeah, well, they've been had for sure. But, you know, all these people think that so much is going to change. I want to let them know, no, we didn't.
What,
we didn't change
anything.
Change.
Let me tell you what should change. You asked me about the pardons.
Yes.
You know, I don't know why you pardon drug dealers and all these people. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Because they were your best source for blow.
Maybe so. I don't understand
Bush
pardoning
Clinton.
These people. However, I do understand pardoning Ramos and Compeon. That's who we should be pardoning. The two Border Patrol agents who were railroaded into prison on the word of a illegal alien drug smuggler who had 700 pounds of marijuana in his van. Now, those guys need to be pardoned.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. That's what I was telling you. Well, because we don't live in a world of righteousness and good.
Well,
a world of righteousness and good is really like fairy tales, rainbows, and leprechauns, my man. They just don't exist. And especially at the executive level, these guys are never... George Bush doesn't care about them. He cares about his buddies on Wall Street.
It'd be a PR thing to make him look good. You know,
Good luck with that campaign, man. Got 5 days.
Wait, do one thing right. Do one thing right in your presidency. Think about it. He could go out on a positive note if he pardoned Ramos and Compañero.
I don't think he could go out on a positive note if he. I'm trying to think what would be that. There's nothing he could do to go out on a positive note. Nothing.
Well,
I don't even think they could roll out Bin Laden tomorrow and he would go out on a positive note, man.
I think it would go a long way. Seriously. I mean, he needs somebody. How about Obama? Obama, when he gets in, could pardon Ramos and Compañero. Those two guys are rotten in prison for no good reason.
I'm not saying they shouldn't be pardoned. Can't the governor of that state also pardon them?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they don't even need a presidential pardon.
I think they do.
No, I think you can get a governor's pardon.
The both of them need a presidential pardon.
Well,
period.
I'm just wondering when the headline is going to be that Libby gets his pardon. They already commuted his sentence.
Scooter?
Yeah, a little scoot.
Well, he probably will get a pardon because
he's a big guy. I'm shocked. Well, I guess he doesn't want to be. He's done his last press conference. What's Bush waiting for?
He's probably got dirt on everybody, so they're going to pardon him.
Oh, my God, does he have dirt? Well, come on. He was, the chief of staff for Cheney, right?
Yeah.
He's got dirt on everyone.
He's got a mountain of dirt.
Speaking of, new policies and whatever, see, here's another illusion. This is off the wire today on CNN. Guantanamo Bay detention facility will be closed, says Holder, the new attorney general, the attorney general designee. He said Thursday the detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, will be closed after President-elect Obama takes office, but not as soon as the administration would like. So, in other words, it's going to take a little while. Second, the physical act of closing the facility isn't a problem, noted Holder. The more pressing question, he said, is the fate of the roughly 250 inmates that are inside of it. So, in other words, they're still going to be detained. A couple of them are going to be extradited, but there are others that they can't. Here it is. A third group of inmates, Holder indicated, can't be tried for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, like the fact that they got no evidence on
them. None, and they'd still like to torture them somewhere, but also can't be released because they are too dangerous. For that reason, the Obama administration won't be able to close the Guantanamo Bay detention facility as soon as we'd like.
Why don't they just send the goat herders back where they came from so they can herd their goats?
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable to me. I mean, come on. You're talking about something. It's 250 people. That's not even like a county prison. If they need to move that here, it's moved in a week. They got to move those prisoners. They're redistributed in a week.
Yeah.
It's very possible they could do this in a country they shouldn't even be in at this point.
Well, then we can't close Guantanamo, can we? We have to keep it open to keep the 250 guys with no charges against them in prison for the rest of their lives, right?
It's unbelievable to me, man. I mean, can you imagine people out there, who are, I'm just going to say it, who are lazy, do nothing, just depressed people. You know, those people that just complain all the time, I didn't get this. I know times are tough right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to everybody. But those people who are always like, everybody knows one at least. Oh, I can't do it. And my life is so horrible. Yeah, let me tell you whose life is horrible. All right, we are so spoiled and privileged in this country. Even the poorest of the poor have a shot here to at least live a decent life. If you go to a third world nation, try living in Brazil without any real money or a career for a month. I think that's going to be pretty rough on people. Then go to Haiti. You're going to get the next level. Then think about being a tortured goat herder from Afghanistan in Guantanamo Bay. Those are the people that have it rough. I mean, any day of the week, you could be raped or have your skull bashed in or a dog sicked on you. And while it's happening, people are going to take video and pictures and laugh about it.
Yeah.
And these are supposed to be the liberators.
Yeah,
right?
We're the good guys.
We're the good guys.
Absolutely.
And I don't even like to think that way because most soldiers, just like most people in the FBI, most people in the CIA, are good people. But like this article shows, not everybody in those agencies are good guys.
You don't believe torture works?
No, but that Obama's dilemma, the cover article on Newsweek, says it's a little less gray than that. And Obama should keep all the executive powers that the Cheney and... Bush administration put into effect. Ex-FBI agent sentenced to 40 years in mob hit. So, it's only a couple paragraphs. Why not read it? Saying he crossed over to the dark side, a judge Thursday sentenced a former FBI agent to 40 years in prison to run consecutively to the prison sentence he is now serving for the 1982 mob-related killing of a witness who was about to testify against the Boston mob members, court officials said. John Connolly Jr., 68, was convicted. So, back in the 80s, who knew it, you know? He took a little scratch from the mob and iced a witness. The FBI. I can't believe it. Really? Could people within the FBI possibly be dirty?
Can you say Waco?
Yeah, right. Those people, animals. I mean, literally treated, you know, women and children as less than animals, I think. You know, usually animals will get a fair shake. You know, you'll have to shoot a deer with a rifle. These guys were using, like, literally automatic weapons off of helicopters, spraying them.
Yeah.
And, oh, the tank. That's right.
The tank.
The tank.
It was tanks and tear gas and fire and other such things. Of course, that was then. That was during the Clinton administration back when times were bad. But, no, thinking about the weapons, the FBI. What's the name of the guy who ran the FBI lab in California?
Talking Whack and Hunt?
No, the FBI guy, head of their operation in California, he spilled the beans on how they were fabricating evidence all over the place.
I'm not quite sure. It's the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be taking your calls after the next segment. Riding Shotgun, Bob Dacey. Remember, you can go to Infowars.com right now or PrisonPlanet.tv to see the latest news. We'll be back after this. Lord forbid that we play Metallica on the bumper music of the Alex Jones Show. Man, I'm still getting so much heat, Bob, from playing the All Nightmare Long video on PrisonPlanet.tv. I just got another email.
Well, I think you can handle it.
I guess I'll have to handle it, but folks, I love the Metallica. There's a great tune called Orion right there. Before, we were talking about the head of the FBI in Waco.
Yeah, this was a head of the crime lab, I think, out in California. His name was Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, mm-hmm. is his name, and he actually narrated Waco, the Rules of Engagement, the million-dollar documentary which exposed a lot of what went on at Waco back in 93.
Is this the one that was up for the Oscar?
Yeah, it was Academy Award nominated for Best Documentary.
Yeah, Rules of Engagement, Waco, yeah. Rules of Engagement.
Yeah,
sure.
And, the FBI, I firmly believe that your average FBI agent is a good guy. He's working for the country, doing his thing, and they're great, except for when it gets into an area where they run into something politically incorrect that their superiors say, you can't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Robert Wright, the one who was trailing all the money coming in from the Islamic charities coming into this country, you know, he was working on that, and then they told him, hey, shut up. You know, you're going to lose your job. You're going to be in big trouble if you keep following this money trail because it goes in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went public. He had Judicial Watch with him, and they had that press conference, and they was kind of crying. He said, we could have stopped 911, but, you know, they told us to back off Bin Laden and all that stuff. Well, you know, he stumbled into an area that was no-no. It was mm-hmm. a no-no. So they call him off.
Mm-hmm.
So the average FBI agent, I'm sure, is a good guy.
I totally and completely agree with you, but, you know, corruption breeds corruption, and when you're a corrupt agency, and you're forced to cover something up right away, you're more apt to do something more dirty and more dirty. And they like the people that keep their mouth shut and play it dirty. And that's why you've seen, you know, people like Robert Mueller.
That's a mirror on the whole government. I mean, the higher up you get in the food chain, the more corrupt it gets. This country, if you compare it to a fish, is rotting from the head down, not from the tail up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a mirror of the country. The corruption. You know, the scum rises to the top, and that's the problem.
It is the problem. Remember, we're going to be taking your calls in the next segment. Willem Bouter at the top of the hour. I want to read this article that Steve Watson did. Looks like a little over a week ago. Bank of England policymaker predicts unprecedented dollar collapse. Now, apparently, we're oversimplifying it with the dollar collapse, but I'm just going to read the article, and he will correct me. when he comes on the show. A former member of the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee has predicted a massive collapse of the dollar within the next 2 to 5 years, warning that a government increase in spending under President-elect Obama could be disastrous. Willem Boutère, who served on the BOE from June 1997 to May 2000, has stated that he expects to see the plug pulled from under the dollar as foreign investors turn away from the dollar and other U.S.-backed assets, including government bonds. Writing for the Financial Times, Boutère, now a professor with the London School of European Economics, comments, there will, before long, my best guess, in between 2 and 5 years from now, be a global dumping of U.S. dollar assets, including U.S. government assets. Old habits die hard. The U.S. dollar and U.S. treasury bills and bonds are still viewed as a safe haven by many, but learning takes place. So there you go. I would say that's pretty much predicting its collapse.
I would think. I mean, what is he? I'm curious to find out when he comes on. What is he griping about? I mean, these are quotes from what he said, so it's going to be interesting.
I guess he didn't use the term collapse in that paragraph. So, you know, like I said, we'll have him on. We'll get his perspective because I am not an economist. I am just a lowly filmmaker and radio show host.
Yeah,
sometimes.
And I'm just a lowly retail hardware store owner. I mean, yeah, if you get down to the point, that's what I am.
We are the simpletons.
Small businessman, that's what I am.
That's right. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about conscription. We've been playing these clips a lot on the show because I think it's important. This guy has basically been parading around the media now the last couple of years. Tom Blankley, he's an editor over at the Washington Times, and he's been calling for conscription. He plays the fact off that his son is a lieutenant in the military, and of course they need help, they need more people. But he goes on MSNBC, and he says, this is in 2007, that it's not going to happen under the Bush administration. So we're going to play that clip, and then we're going to play the clip from, I believe, Monday. He just launched his new book, American Grit Monday, where he's calling for conscription again. But this time it's more of a friendly audience at Fox and Friends, our good buddies there. All right, so let's go to the MSNBC clip.
Institution of the military draft should be considered and has always been an option on the table. A Pentagon spokesman frontally rejected the idea today, saying that the military is giving the idea, quote, absolutely no consideration.
All right,
unquote.
We're going to play the rest of those clips on the other side. It is the Alex Jones Show. We'll be taking your calls. I am Jason Burmis with Bob Dacey, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. It's the Alex Jones Show. More Metallica. I guess I should just be scorned and lacerated.
What's your problem? I mean, Metallica's good. I mean, Alex plays stuff from back in my time.
Yeah, there's Motorhead on here sometimes.
Yeah, it's he plays Led Zeppelin, I mean, all the time.
Yeah, no, you're right. Led Zeppelin's on here all the time. I like it when the Johnny Cash is on, except for it's hard for me to come in because I want to listen to the whole song.
Yeah. He's got Heart on all the time. He's got all these people from back in my age, You wouldn't think he's as young as he is.
Heart, oh my God. Yeah, right? Now he's not that much older than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew? All right, we were talking conscription, and we were playing a little bit of that MSNBC clip. Now remember, this is back in 07. This guy's still promoting conscription, saying it's not going to happen under this administration, that it's only going to be coming up later. And now that we have a new administration in, he has a new book talking about it, and of course he's greeted by friends, buddies over at Fox and Friends. Fox. They're our friends. It's the morning show. Yeah, Fox and Friends. That's what they are. All right, let's play the MSNBC clip.
With no end in sight to U.S. involvement in the Iraq war, George Bush's so-called war czar, General Douglas Lute, told National Public Radio on Friday that reinstitution of the military draft should be considered and has always been an option on the table. A Pentagon spokesman frontally rejected the idea today, saying that the military is giving the idea, quote, absolutely no consideration, unquote. But is it time to revive conscription for the first time since Richard Nixon? Back to discuss it are Democratic strategist Stephanie Cutter and editor of the Washington Times editorial page, Tony Blankley. Tony, it just seemed to me political year. Nobody's going to recommend a return to the draft. But is the draft a good idea, or is a partial draft a good idea? We got 5,000 troops in the Army. It is breaking, according to the Army Chief of Staff, on the basis of two small guerrilla wars. Now, is the U.S. Army big enough and strong enough to handle all the commitments this country's got?
It's not going to happen on Bush's watch, because it's not time for that debate to occur. But the military clearly is not big enough to do the job that's going to be required of it in a world that we live in today and into the foreseeable future. As you say, two small wars, and we're almost tapped out as far as troops are concerned.
All right, let's play the next clip, because right there in 2007, it's not time for that debate yet. Don't you worry. There'll be a time for it.
Well, you think that time is coming?
I think the time is coming, especially since Obama got up when he was elected president and said that he's going to need us for a great service and sacrifice. We're all going to be sacrificing and serving, apparently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Fox and Friends, here they are, our best buddies.
Welcome back, everyone. 7 minutes before the top of the hour. Can America's power last forever? And how do we achieve a new nationalism that puts our country's survival first?
Those questions and more are addressed in a brand new book by Tony Blankley. It comes out today. It's called American Grit. What will it take for America to survive and win in the 21st century? And joining us for his first TV interview about the book is Tony Blankley. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
You know, if you read some of the European papers, they're talking about America is finally in decline. They're getting what they've had coming to them all along. Do you believe that?
Well, it could be so. We have it in our power not to be in decline, and that's what my book's about. I do believe that for the first time in our history, if we don't do a lot of things smart and tough, we could get overwhelmed by the rise of China, the rise of India, the rise of radical Islam. Mm-hmm. We've failed to exploit our energy, we're not paying enough attention to what our kids are learning. Bill Ayers is actually a senior person in guiding the curriculum design of America. That started just this last March. But we have it in our power, and I try to write some tough proposals for what we need to do so that our grandchildren live in a country strong enough to protect our freedoms just as we do.
Yeah, Tony, your book's going to get a lot of attention because there are some controversial, bold suggestions. The first one, obviously, that caught my eye was that you're calling for a universal draft, which would mean that all 18-year-olds in America would have to serve for 2 years.
Yes, look, I don't like it. I love the volunteer army. I've got a son who's a second lieutenant in the volunteer army. I know the young men and women who serve. They're the greatest young kids we've ever produced. But we don't have enough troops, and it's manifest that we don't by several magnitudes. For instance, when George Bush wanted to have the surge, he was told by the senior generals we didn't have the extra 20,000 troops to finish the war.
Now, see, we don't have enough troops.
I got a plan. Why don't we just get the heck out of there? You know, man, then we'd have enough troops.
Because, you know, Pakistan needs dealing with, and that's why Biden was there over in the week.
So we have to invade Pakistan. We've got to mess around with the Iranians, whatever the Israelis want us to do.
We have to create a Eurasian Union. Don't you understand that? And rogue nations will not be allowed, and nations not under the thumb of U.S. dominance and really global imperialism.
Are you related to Zbigniew Brzezinski?
Calls it all the time. Z-Big.
Are you related to that guy?
His bastard child because, you know, his daughter is over on MSNBC and then his son is a big Republican.
They got it all covered.
Yeah, they got it all covered. So I'm the alternative guy. You're right.
Yeah. Didn't Z-Big work on McCain's campaign in 2000? I think he did. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Then he switched over to
Obama. His son worked in 2008 on the McCain campaign. He covers it from all angles.
He's got it. They got it all figured out. But you sound like Z-Big. You know, this American empire needs to be established until we can turn it all over to the UN. That was in his book.
What, the Grand Chessboard?
The Grand Chessboard.
Yeah, that's
the
Grand Chessboard.
You ever read the last part?
No.
Well, that's what it says in the last part. It says, we must dominate the world with our hegemony until it's such a time at which we can turn it all over to the UN. I mean, it says it in the back of the book.
Well, that's pretty much what it'll be. They'll probably, it won't be called the UN. I'm sure they'll have some other global term for
global
a new office.
Global smiley face, whatever, you know, whatever. I don't know.
All right, let's take calls. We promise you we take calls on all your issues. Let's go to, I think it's Wilda in New York. Wilda, what's on?
Hi. I'm wondering if you would be willing to invite as your guest the doctor, neuropsychiatrist. His name is Daniel Amen, and his phone number is 888.
Oh, hold on, hold on. Don't give out any phone numbers on the air. If you want to suggest a guest, send the information over to Aaron@Infowars.com. Thank you for the call. Yeah, we don't give out people's phone numbers on air, especially people that don't know that we're supposed to be contacted. All right, let's go to Tony in Virginia. Tony, what's on your mind?
Jason, what's up?
How you doing, man?
Hey, love your work. You know, Fable to Emmy is great.
Thank you.
You're doing a good job sitting in there for Alex, too. I always want to say you're a fine apprentice. Someday you'll make a great Jedi. Anyway, I was looking at the Metallica video you brought up on Monday, I think, and I went into a deep analysis on it, and I actually found out that the Soviets were the one that were conducting the chemtrails in the Metallica video. They caused the problem by introducing the spores that turned people into zombies.
Yeah, but all right, hold on. At the end, if you watch that, all right, there's the point where it's all the research and it's real video, and then it cuts to the cartoon, the whole like zombie horror story in the United States. All right, so at the end, when the Soviets want to come in, their plan, if you read the bottom thing, is they say basically they're going to release the agent, and then they're going to take days, and fires are going to start, and everybody's going to get infected. Then they put up the chemtrails, so they kill most of them. Then they bring
that's
in the robots. Yes, and then that's their solution. But what you don't understand is that was their plan that they don't go through, and then they cut to modern days, and they start playing news clips of today, of chemtrails in the air. So what are these chemtrails, blah, blah, blah? It's not the Soviets spraying the chemtrails now. It's the Americans spraying the chemtrails to make sure that the Soviets can't have their way. So they're saying that the barium and arsenic in the chemtrails are what's protecting us from Soviet attack. Because remember, before they spray the chemtrails, they seed the clouds with that spore. Remember, they drop those little bags of clouds. So basically what they're trying to say is that the chemtrails are here to protect us. That's what I got out of the video.
I kind of got a deeper look into it because I'm thinking that it's a new Soviet nation that they're trying to impose. Basically, they're going to cause a problem. Hollywood's all over it. I Am Legend, Resident Evil, it's everywhere. The zombie thing is obviously something that's to come. We're going to have to go through some major biological infection.
And well, they have been hyping it, man. Yeah, they have been hyping it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's all about quarantine and control. Yeah, well, you know what? Who knows? You know what? I've watched it now like 5 times. I thank you for the call on it. Thank you for some positive on playing that Metallica thing. But if you haven't seen this, this is what's causing all this problem. Metallica's latest video for Death Magnetic, it's their new album. It's actually pretty good. They started out with the Tunguska event out in Russia. And you know it took like a year to, this big explosion. Nobody knows what it is. Right. A year to excavate. Well, it gets into eugenics. Apparently they excavate something that can reanimate life. So they're reanimating a steak at first, and then a cat next, and then, you know, it gets out of control.
They reanimated a steak?
Yeah, yeah. You got to watch the video, but it's all just these crazy little...
They could just thaw it out.
You know. Yeah, well, it was dancing. I don't think you can get dancing steak just thawing it out. Well, unless it's really old.
Okay.
But anyway, they harness this thing. You know, at first they're using it to, like, cure cuts and things like that. It's regenerating cells. But then it regenerates dead life, and it's, you know, basically turns into a zombie horror show. But then they bring in the chemtrails at the end, where the chemtrails are basically the cure. And they cut from the entire video and all the music video to start playing the latest conspiracy theory. All these news things about chemtrails. And basically the chemtrails are made to be healthy for us.
So I think I get the picture now. It's the same old stuff where they take something that's really happening, which is chemtrails, and put a bunch of zombie weird stuff on it to make everybody think it's a joke.
Yes.
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah, and a positive joke at that. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Chemtrails are good for you.
Yes.
Barium's good for you.
Barium's good for you.
Aluminum silicates and things, that's good
arsenic,
for you.
Arsenic, delicious.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, let's keep taking calls. Let's go to Ed in Pennsylvania. Ed, what's on your mind?
Hey, great show, guys.
Oh, thank you.
When Alex gets back, ask him if he could take you out and show you a little bit of rifles and how to shoot and stuff, because you seem like a really nice guy, but a little really naive when it comes to high-powered rifles and what.
Yeah, I'm not a big gun guy.
We might have to do in the future here.
Well, you know what? All right, let me take that.
I'm a federal firearms licensee, my friend. I know a little bit about guns.
I know that you do, Bob. But All right, asking, you know, you're somewhat of a gun enthusiast, right? Right,
sort of, mostly handguns. But what was the question?
Well, basically, a lot of these people think that, you know, we're going to have to, you know, face off against these guys in some type of militia type army. And now I'm not saying that there might not come an event when someone's trying to take your home, when there's riots in the street, when you might have to protect your family and that sort of thing. But if we ever have to go toe to toe with the police force or the military on a large scale level, I'm sorry, we don't have a shot.
Well, you know, that's the last resort. That's what the Second Amendment is
there
in the Constitution for. It's a last resort. I kind of understand what he's saying in that you can take something like the Soviet military and they go into Afghanistan and get their tails kicked, you know, by a bunch of goat herders because of the just the people rebelling against the foreign invader or whatever. They're going to kick them out. You know, they can't control the population. That's what the Second Amendment is about in regard to foreigners invading us. The thing about our own selves invading us, basically, when our government turns on us, that's a much more difficult thing to fight. And that's why we're having Jack McClam on later on today, because he knows all about that.
That's right. And we do give a voice to those people that think it will come to that.
You don't want it to come to that.
Not at all.
But I'll tell you something. In my hardware store, I have a little small gun department. It's really no big deal. It's just a small department. But my store was a mirror to what happened all over the country just before Obama got elected. A big light bulb went off in everybody's head, and all of a sudden, gun sales started to skyrocket. I mean, if you talk, because they know, I've seen the legislation that's been introduced over and over and over again when the Democrats didn't control the House and the Senate. You know, they're going after ammunition. They're going after semi-automatic rifles first. Mm-hmm. And Obama has said it. I mean, they're going after semi-autos. So everything semi-automatic in this country, AK-type semi-autos, AR-15s, and in the handgun category, Glocks, that type of thing, they're evaporating off the shelves, and the production can't keep up with the demand. So people are clearly worried about what this latest puppet is going to do to attack the Second Amendment after he puts his hand on a Bible and swears to protect it.
Mm-hmm. Can't agree more. All right, let's go to Mark in Kentucky. Mark, what's on your mind? Yes, Mark.
I want to kind of go the middle line here. I don't think you're really softy, but language is a real tricky thing. And when you say that we just can't defeat them in that level, it kind of paints a visualization picture, and that's strong psychology for us. You would not be sitting in that chair doing that today if you were a defeatist.
I'm not a defeatist,
I
but
know
I, already, I agree there, but I'm saying, all right, let's say it's already happening. We got martial law. They've taken not only National Guard troops, but probably NATO forces, because, you know, American troops are going to have a hard time shooting other Americans. But they bring in NATO forces, and they're working with the local police and the local sheriff's department. I just don't see us being able to. And they say, oh, my God, they've got 300 real regimented militia types. They're all very well armed. They've got positions. They're not sending those people in. They're going to send drones in, man. They're going
to
send those little mini drones, and that's a problem.
You're doing great on the disclaimers, because we have to be cautious when we step up to the plate.
I agree.
We have to understand what's coming at us. This Tony Blakely is driving me nuts. I hope nobody buys this sucker's book.
I bet you it's a New York Times number one bestseller. I'll put money on it.
He says Army's not big enough to do what's required of it. By who? Who is requiring it of this craziness?
And what is being required? What is the requirement? What is that? He doesn't define the requirement. I mean, they're bringing these guys home. They got 30,000 of them or so. What do they call that? The Northcom, whatever, local North. I don't know what to call it. They brought in 4,000 troops, and now it's up to 30,000 for domestic law enforcement.
Oh, you're talking about the new Obama program where it's going to be domestic law enforcement. Yeah, I believe it's 20,000 troops. And, you know,
That's totally illegal. I mean, it's completely and totally illegal.
Well, they ended Posse Comitatus really in the public's eyes with Katrina. When they put troops on the streets to take guns there,
did, but they didn't.
They didn't do it legally.
My brother did CO status, and people could look up that's a route to go, but you did give some excellent information yesterday. I guess it was Mike said so, that when you get in there in the induction center, they still have to get you to swear an oath and step forward. And, yeah, they may beat the hell out of you, but I think that this is a challenge that we may raise to. What if half the people that they're taking into these induction centers don't play ball and don't step forward and say, yeah, I would defend my country, but you are a traitor getting me to do what you're expecting me to do. And they, you know, they're going to run out of resources if the masses say no.
Well,
you know,
I agree,
they're
going
to take us to court.
Mm-hmm.
But in mass, you know, it's like Save a Patriot always talking about, you have one pencil, you can break it.
Well, you know what I think he's going to do to recruit his
together,
force?
It ain't going to break.
This is how they're going to, listen, this is how they're going to recruit their force. They're going to go into the poor black neighborhoods.
Yep.
They're going to prop Obama up as a hero, and that's where they're going to recruit from first. And that's probably going to be the first place they draft from, because these guys are going to be brainwashed into it. I mean, he's already being posed as some kind of a Martin Luther King Jr. figure. He
I
hasn't
know,
done anything
talk,
yet.
We got to talk positive visualization and,
right.
and not
hey,
hang
I'm
with the negative.
I'm with you on the pot. Hey, I watched The Secret, too. I like some of it. It's The Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Jones Show every once in a while, and that's a fun tune because it is about the love. I know I can be a little doom and gloom sometimes. You know what? With the love train story, let's do the one positive story in my stack, the one that the mainstream media is reporting on. Miracle baby born 2 days after mother's death, and this does you know, warm a heart or two. Miracles of science. This woman just collapsed. Of course, she had a cancerous brain tumor where she didn't know about vaccinations. You know, she, a young lady, what was she? Was she even 40? She was 41 years old, and she had this brain tumor she didn't know about. She collapsed and died, but they were able to save the baby. And 2 days after she died, and they kept her heart going, she was born. So there's an upbeat story. There's something that's positive technology. You're a little you don't know.
I just the thing I wonder about that is why she got cancer in the first place.
Yeah, big industry.
Yeah, well that's the thing. It's a huge industry. You know, on our show, The Simple Truth here in Austin, we have a website now called simpletruthonline.net.
Mm-hmm.
And the webmaster archives our old shows. And the one that we did with about cancer a few years ago, which we replayed so we can get it on the net, that one keeps being disappeared off the net. We put it up twice. Something happens to it. We put it up again. Something happens to it again, and we put it up again. I mean, the cancer show, something's going on there. And they don't want that information out there that there are cures for cancer.
I wonder why.
Maybe Big Pharma would lose billions of dollars in profits, maybe?
It wouldn't go along with their depopulation program. It's not really a depopulation program. It's a slow kill program to try to stop the expansion of the population.
Yeah, I mean, you know, cancer is rampant, and the cancer industry is a joke. Unless, of course, you get cancer, in which case the joke's on you. Right?
Yeah, it's not very funny when you're the one laid up in a hospital bed or your family member is laid up in a hospital. All right, let's take a few more calls at the bottom of the hour. Hopefully we'll have this guest show up at the top of the hour. If not, we'll just keep ramming through your calls. All right, I believe we are on William in the UK. William, what's on your mind?
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Good.
This is just it's about my mom. She's been abused in a nursing home in Oswestry in Shropshire in the UK. I was visiting her there on Christmas Day. And my mother begged to be got out of bed, so I lifted her up at her request, put her in a chair, and she was very happy about that. But the management went berserk and called the cops and had me escorted off the premises.
You were escorted off the premises for trying to help your sick mother in a nursing home?
Yeah, there's some folk have put up a website on it, southerncrossnursinghomes.com. southerncrossnursinghomes.com, but you might if you could link it or follow it up as a story or
something. Well, I'll tell you what, if you go
to Aaron, the nursing home.
Well, please, if this really happened, you can document it. Please go to Aaron@Infowars.com. Send him the information. We'd love to do a story on that. Thank you for the call. That's pretty crazy. I mean, on Christmas Day, you go to see your mother on a holiday. You lift her out of the bed, and then you're arrested for it?
You're probably not an approved caregiver.
approved caregiver? I know they hire anybody.
Well, still, you have to be approved.
Approved by who? The state?
Them.
You got to have a badge.
Right.
Well, that's a sick story.
Like in Katrina, if you weren't approved, they wouldn't let you treat people, remember?
Oh, that's right. And they wouldn't let all those people come across the bridge to help everybody. Weird.
Yeah.
I wonder why they do that. It's the Alex Jones Show, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We are now into the second hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in all week. Riding shotgun with me is Bob Dacey. And hopefully our guest will show up. Sometimes when we get these bigger guests, they tend not to come on when they find out about the show. Bob, hopefully we will have Willem Booter with us after the break. But, Bob, you were telling a story about cancer. Why don't you expand on that?
Well, you know, our show's been on the air for 10 years, The Simple Truth, here in Austin. And recently we got our website, and we have a webmaster posting shows. Well, we re-ran some interviews we did back a few years ago. It was called the Shannon Simpson Story. And this was a lady that we flew in from Louisiana to interview back in 2003. And her story basically is that she was 20 years old, co-ed here in the Austin area at Southwestern University, and she had all these problems. They couldn't figure out what it was, so did an operation, exploratory operation, and they found cancer all over, just everywhere. So they did a operation, took out everything they could take out. You know, and they said, okay, it's time for your chemo. You know, this is back in 1983. She refused. Her parents refused, and she. Because she had read War Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin. They had read the book. They weren't going to do the butchery stuff that, you know, the poison and all that, irradiation, burning, and poisoning that the mainstream medicine says you got to do. And so she went to Mexico and was cured of cancer with Laetrile therapy by Dr. Richardson, who was a Laetrile pioneer in the 70s. He'd been kicked out of the United States, set up a clinic in Mexico. Well, he was featured in G. Edward Griffin's book. Okay, so that was in 1983. Well, we interviewed her in 2003, 20 years later. And here's the deal. I know this woman. She is the little sister of one of the producers of my TV show. They lived through this themselves. We didn't just drag somebody off the street with a cockamamie story. Mm-hmm. This is people I know. You know, and so I interviewed her in 2003. We aired it in 2004. We put it back on the air last year. It got yanked off the internet twice by, you know, who knows. It's back up again. I think it's the October 15th show or something in 2007 on our TV archives.
Mm-hmm.
That's simpletruthonline.net. But, you know, now it's 26 years later. The woman is cancer-free 26 years after being diagnosed with metastatic cancer. Cancer that had spread from her abdominal area up to her liver. She never underwent chemo. And she's alive, healthy, everything. You know, that's just one story. You could go on and on and on and on and on. But for this one, this for us was personal. And I don't know why that interview keeps being taken off the net. I don't know why. But she's believable. She's smart. She lived it herself. And I don't know. It's pathetic that more people can't see stuff like that.
Well, you know, like you said, the industry of cancer is just a billion-dollar industry. I mean, when you're getting that poison, that chemotherapy, it's costing you a pretty penny.
Hey, if you want to have some fun, Jason, just for fun, go on a website of chemotherapy nurses. When they have websites and they talk amongst themselves, and boy, you don't ever want to touch that stuff. I'll guarantee you that. They have lists of, don't you ever get any chemotherapy crud on yourself. Wear double thick gloves. Be careful. Don't you dare get in that stuff, but shove it in the body of this person all day long. Oh, you know, it is horrible. It's barbaric. And Laetrile is only one thing. one thing.
Isn't that like a derivative of B17 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
It's apricot pits is the strongest concentration of this amygdalin, which is what Laetril is a kind of a brand name of. It's a concentration of a vitamin B17 found in peach pits, apricot pits. It used to be found in a lot of the breads we used to eat back in the good old days. But all the stuff that we used to eat that prevented cancer, we don't eat it anymore.
No, it took it right out, and that's why they're trying to regulate what we can eat through Codex Alimentarius coming up. My, ooh, delicious.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
I can't wait to have my Oscar Mayer Lunchable. All right, it is the Alex Jones Show. We're going to keep taking your calls when we get back. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Blasting through the lies and disinformation, it is The Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, the filmmaker behind Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut. Helping Alex out on the new Obama film Behind the Scenes. I'm working on the cover right now. Hopefully my DVD cover will be picked. Some of the most fun I have is when I do these covers. I did the cover for Truth Rising, did the cover for Fabled Enemies, did the cover for Final Cut. But the movie itself, not only going to be talking about Obama, but the current financial collapse, it's really fun stuff. I really do enjoy working on those films, archiving stuff. I'm a real dork. I like to bring it to the masses. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Hey, it takes all kinds. I'm a computer retarded person, so it's all different kinds of people working on this stuff.
That's right, and we all have to do what we can. The guy who called in earlier and said that he was going to teach me about guns, maybe that's what you're meant here to do. Teach other people how to use a firearm.
Well, you have the disadvantage from being from New York City.
I'm not from New York City. I'm from upstate New York.
Close to New York City.
There's more rednecks where I live in upstate New York, man.
I
guarantee it.
Than in Texas?
Absolutely.
No,
listen.
No, you don't have nearly as many gun nuts up there as we got down
you
here.
You think not, but that's only because they won't let them have the handguns. Otherwise, I know plenty of people with their cases stocked full of shotguns and rifles, man.
Yeah, but that's like sporting stuff.
Well, because you can't have a handgun.
Well, that's your that's your problem. There you have it right there.
Well, we went over that with Larry Pratt and Gun Owners of America earlier
in the
week.
The handgun is up close and personal, my friend. I mean,
I hear you. The chances of me getting one are slim to nil. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Eric in Chicago. Eric, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Jay?
How you doing?
I'm all right, just getting soft-killed and all.
yeah, breathing in the wonderful air, drinking the lovely fluoridated water, and probably eating some delicious Oscar Mayer bologna. It's the bologna that has a first name. What is it, GMMMO?
No way around it, my friend. I had recently brought up that David Ray Griffin has been talking about world government. What do you feel about that?
Sure. David is one of those guys that, he's not the only one in this movement that talks about world democracy and world government. I've been to David's home, and I've discussed this same subject with many people behind the scenes. And, there are just some people, again, that have their blind spots. They really believe that, world government is good. They think that worldwide democracy is good. And, he does great work on 9/11, but you got to remember he's a theosophical professor. So he's not only, even though he comes at it from a Christian perspective, he looks at all separate religions. He's a strong believer that we do need some kind of a world religion as well. I just happen to disagree with him on that point. I remember Alex had him on years ago, and even a caller called in and confronted him on it. It's just his viewpoint. There's a lot of people out there that really, look at the Zeitgeist guy. Talks about in the first half of his addendum movie is dead on. Those technologies do exist. The banking system is that corrupt. It's when they offer you the solution of world government. Are they all in cahoots in a back room saying that we have to, promote this through 9/11 truth or through the banking collapse? I don't know. I doubt it. I think that people have just been so brainwashed into believing it's a good thing from not only their schooling, but just everything around them has promoted it, from the media to movies.
Right. I mean, you even have children at, the Model UN in their schools.
Yeah, well, that's in America Destroyed by Design, one of Alex's first pictures. He goes to the Model UN where I think two kids from each school district are chosen, and they go off to this little indoctrination center for a month or a week. and find out how great global government is. It's, you know, it'd be funny if it wasn't true. And, you know,
it's so hard to take a stance to where you just can't laugh it because it's just right in your face. I mean, what do they think we are?
Well, just because you can smell a rat with 911 doesn't mean you've been exposed to all the information that we've been exposed to. You know,
right.
it's hard to get out of that left-right paradigm.
Look at McGovern yesterday. I mean, Ray McGovern is giving the Obama administration way too much credit. I mean, McGovern at this point knows that there's no change. Gates is still in. McGovern at this point knows that Rahm Emanuel is a bad pick. I mean, he can't be feeling good about that presidency. But at the same time, the left doesn't feel like they have anything to cling on to. They feel if they go too far to the left, they're a communist or a socialist. And if they ditch their party, where are they going to go? Green?
It's like we all have our spheres of influence or our little circles that we believe in, and mm-hmm. they kind of intersect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand. I've never understood why Michael Rivero kind of defended Obama for so long.
I had him on
yesterday,
too.
I never understood that. He knows a lot of stuff, yet he kind of defended Obama. And
he recanted a lot of that yesterday.
Well, you know, it's like, okay, you're gonna wake up a little bit more. You know, Rivero was great. WhatReallyHappened.com, fantastic yeah. website. I go there every day, but I was always like, why are you defending this guy? I mean,
and he was one of the guys that actually said that the birth certificate wasn't valid. But, you know, he, 2 days ago on his show, he said that the administration was already disappointing to him. We already talked
about already? It's not even going yet.
But we talked about Rahm Emanuel. We talked about Gates. So, you know, I think that he's getting around his blind spot. Look at American Drug War. You know, Kevin Booth, he's a great filmmaker. He's a guy that used to manage Bill Hicks. He seems to still have his blind spots, too. He worked on, I think it was American Dictators. He edited that film, one of my favorite Alex Jones films. He has his blind spots.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our blind spots, man. David Ray Griffin.
Yeah.
You know, he's not perfect on 9/11 either. You know, no one is perfect. We're all human beings. I encourage people to just go check out everybody's information and come to your own conclusions. I thank you for the call, Eric.
I just have one last thing to say
to
everybody out there, that there is truth and there is not truth. There is no gray area amongst this, and people need to start realizing that they need to fight for this truth and figure it out for themselves.
I'm with you 100%. Thank you for the call. One of the better calls today. Let's jump to Nick in Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Oh, hi. Yeah, first of all, Jason, you can get a handgun in New York.
It's pretty tough.
No.
Have a carry and conceal permit?
Well, are you talking about obtaining?
Well, you can own a handgun, and you can go through the process. The process takes about a week to say whether or not you can have that handgun, but I can't take it anywhere. I can have it in my house.
Yeah, you could take it out to the range and practice with it.
Yeah, and exactly. I can't take it in my car to protect myself. I can't take it down the street to protect myself. I can't really have a handgun in New York. You know that. If I'm an ex-law enforcement officer, I've got a shot. If I'm an ex-military officer, I've got a shot.
If you're carrying money around, you got a shot.
Yeah, if you're of political influence, you've got a shot at it.
You don't live in New York City, do you?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm in upstate New York, and I can't. I remember my buddy in the National Guard. He actually served in Iraq, and he could not get a carry and conceal permit here. I mean, he's a young guy like me, actually like a year older than me. But he came back. What was it? He went early. He went within the first or second year. He spent 6 months out there. He came back. I think it was in 04, couldn't get one. He got out of the state. He got one no problem. I think he lives in Virginia. Is it Virginia or West Virginia? I'm not sure, but he couldn't get one in upstate New York. You know, I mean, I live an hour away from Albany, and the kid couldn't get one. I think that's insane. Yeah, well,
that's not the reason I called, though.
Okay.
The militia.
Okay.
You need to read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 and 16, then Article 2, Section 2 about the militia, and tie it in with the Second Amendment. The best way to do this is to read Dr. Edwin Vieira's articles on the militia.
Mm-hmm.
He outlines it all. The militia is not what it's been made out to be. It's the People's Law Enforcement Agency. That's what it's there for. People got to get away from the right-wing militia mentality mm-hmm. and see what it's all about.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great groups out there that are trying to put together well-formed militias that aren't right-wing, that aren't, you know, that are organized and can't be demonized.
That's not actually revitalizing the militia through state. Each state has a militia act, and that needs to be reinforced so that it is a law enforcement agency. That's what we're talking about here.
But do you think they're ever really going to put that much power in the people's hands again? I mean, I'm just looking at a realistic point of view. I mean, you're in Jersey. I mean, how many of your friends are awake and aware? I mean, do you go and shoot with your buddies? Do you have just a small welfare militia?
I actually go shoot with judges and lawyers.
Well, that's good.
Well, I used to on a regular basis.
But are they awake, or are these just your buddies because, you know, you've known them for a long time?
Some of them are, but it's hard to press the point on what the lawful tools are to get around all the corruption. Are you guys familiar with the book The Soprano State?
No.
All right. Well, it's about all the corruption in New Jersey, and we'd be hard pressed to get it done here. But states like Montana and I believe Oklahoma are starting to press the issue for revitalizing the militia. So it might get done somewhere in this country.
Well, that'd be nice. I feel like if that does happen, those states will immediately be demonized. I think that's why you saw them demonize the militia movement in 93 with '95 with the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, they needed to make these guys look violent, and that's exactly what they did. And really, in the mainstream, they've been demonized since then. That whole militia movement in the mainline. Oh, you're one of those right wing kooks. I'm not applauding that. I think it's deplorable. But it's
a lot of the guys in the militia have actually fostered that problem themselves. I remember seeing a video of some militia group saying, "This is our 50 caliber right here. Check it out, good buddy." And he's all, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. They help the process along, a lot of them, with their actions.
Well, a lot of them are provocateur into that, too. A lot of these guys that head up these things are really FBI.
That's true.
You know, that's unfortunate, but true. All right, let's jump to Vicky in Idaho. Vicky, what's on your mind?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just a mom who's got two kids in the draft age, and I'm just sick as can be, and I didn't vote for Obama or McCain. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like people just aren't really seeing what's on the table. They need cannon fodder to fight another war in Iran. I don't even know
if we're going to go into Iran, but definitely into the Middle East. What they're doing, I mean, openly right now, Obama is talking about redistribution of troops into Afghanistan, okay? And now this de-escalation in Iraq is just going to bring those troops there. Now, we already have some kind of issue with Pakistan and India right now, where the ISI is helping these militant attacks. So, I, you know, maybe Pakistan's on the table. Forget about Iran right now, but your kids may be drafted to go to the Middle East. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. Here that build all the bombs. Here that hide behind walls. Here that hide behind discs.
It's the Alex Jones Show.
I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks.
And that's what this is about, seeing through the masks
you that never done
of the elite's frontmen. Obama puts on a nice little smile. But he'll be smiling all the way to your son marching into a desert war. So glad Vicky called up. And, you know, I hope more parents are distressed about this, because I don't want to see a national conscription. I don't want to see forces on the street. I don't want to see an expansion of Homeland Security.
Zeke Heil.
I mean, that's what this is about. You know, I hate to think that Webster Tarpley is correct, that this is the next big, you know, Mussolini-type fascist movement. But they have on the cover of the Rolling Stone, man, they had him basically, he was God. He was deified. He was glowing. He was in the clouds. He's the chosen one. Now he's on the cover of a special edition of Newsweek where it says the new global elite, and it's got all sorts of weird symbolism on it. It's very disturbing how much this guy's been pushed and how much his agenda is just a continuation of the globalist policies we've seen throughout the Clinton and Bush administrations.
National service is it comes straight out of the UN.
Yeah.
It's straight out of the UN. They say, oh, your rights can only be achieved if you realize you have certain responsibilities to your state. And that is so un-American, it's not even funny. National service, I don't care what it is, Hitler, Mussolini, or Obama sucks.
Yeah, it's
they're supposed to serve us. We're not supposed to serve them. Mm-hmm. We're the sovereign. They're supposed to be doing our bidding. It's not supposed to be the other way around.
A government foreign by the people. It's not really like that, though, is
it? Yeah, well, I'm sorry, man. This is all straight out of the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's keep taking your calls. Let's go to John in Utah. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
All right, I kind of wanted to take you to task a little bit, Jason. Earlier you were talking about, you know, I understand you got to walk a bit of a tightrope with the calling for outright revolution, but
mm-hmm.
I just have a problem. I've been listening to this show. I've been a fan for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I hear that my government, you know, is stealing my money. They're giving me vaccines into my babies that are going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
They're poisoning the food,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to build. They're building FEMA camps to kill all of us.
Very possible.
So at the same time, I hear you say, you know, well, if it comes to a conflict, you know, we're going to get wiped out. I mean, what if George Washington had that attitude?
I don't know if we're so much going to get wiped out. I think that honestly, we're going to get herded up. I mean, most people, all right, here's an article out of CNNHealth.com. This is out today. Why so many minds think alike. You're in a room with 10 other people who seem to agree on something, but you hold the opposite view. Do you say something or you just go along with the others? Most people will just go along with the others, by the way.
I agree with that.
Well, hold on. Decades of research show people tend to go along with the majority view, even if that view is objectively incorrect. Now scientists are supporting those theories with brain images. I'll just stop the article there. They're hiring at a massive rate for the religious people. They're hiring the preachers to tell them to go to the camps. Most people are going to go to the goddamn camps. Excuse my French. And it sucks. And then you're going to have a leftover few that want to battle it out. Well, I'm sorry, man. They're not going to take you to they're not going to take you to force one-on-one. Yes, there is guerrilla warfare. You know, I guess that there could be some sniper teams out there that might be able to get some officials or some people that you want to blame for all this. But are you ever going to get close to the guys that actually run the show? No. And if you ever put yourself in a position where you're with dozens or hundreds of other peoples, it's Drone City. They're going to blow you up with a missile. You see what they do to people in third world nations. You see what's going on in that Israeli-Gaza conflict. They don't have any problem.
I'm asking you, yeah. Jason. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've thought this far out ahead. I mean, I believe what you guys are doing, you and Alex, you and General Jones are doing, is really huge, getting the mm-hmm. word out.
Sure.
Okay, we get the word out,
mm-hmm.
but then what's the answer? I mean, okay, we've got, say you got 30 million people in this country mm-hmm. that are ready to pull their hair out and storm a building, but, you know, what is the ultimate answer?
All right, well, I'll tell you what, if we add 30 million people, I hope 3 out of that 30 million would join me in a peaceful march in D.C. or New York City for the right causes, but we haven't been able to do that. First of all, we have not, as a movement, been able to put out any massive amount of people into the streets, ever. We've had thousands. We've never had tens of thousands. We've never had hundreds of thousands. Louis Farrakhan, behind, you know, Bowtie Muslims and the Nation of Islam, was able to do a million-man march twice. He did one on D.C., and he did another millions more, and the media had to cover it. We've never been able to even do that. We have to be able to do that first before we start talking about taking up arms. Stay on. We'll take your call. We'll keep taking your calls to The Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. We are back. It's the Alex Jones Show, and I want to make it very clear that I am not telling you to lay down your weapons. I am not telling you to turn in your guns. I am a pro Second Amendment guy. I just don't think that we've been able to show ourselves as a, you know, peaceful group in masses. You know, the movements that I've seen work, and I don't think that they had all the solutions then, are movements like the movement that Gandhi put out there for his people and the civil rights movement that, you know, was hijacked and a lot of leaders there were killed. But eventually, you know, Martin Luther King's dream has been achieved. There's equality in this country. You know, there's still a little bit of racism here and there. And you know, there's still racists, like the guy who called in yesterday about the race war.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, if you're a black man or a black woman in this country, you can achieve anything a white man can if you work hard enough. And that's something that, you know, he did with sit-ins. He did with people on the street handing out. That's why I like We Are Change. I mean, there's an organization that I feel John, is just not big enough that people need to join that organization. If we had, you know, another 100 We Are Change chapters pop up in this country, it would be a tremendous difference.
Jason, I think the thing that is dictating why we haven't achieved these huge crowds is because we see what's going on and we see what they're planning. And we can prove it 16 different ways to Sunday. I hate to say it's a problem, but the problem is the average American doesn't perceive that his ox has been gored enough. You know, they don't get it yet. They don't. It's not personal to them. And unfortunately, it's going to get personal to them. And a positive offshoot of that may be that we will get the big numbers to do what you're talking about. Because you're right. Civil disobedience, peaceful civil disobedience works. And you go to the guns last resort. That's not what we want. Nobody wants that. You have no idea how ugly that would be. You know, it's not like you watch it on TV and can turn it off.
This ain't a movie.
No, it's not a movie. It is 16 kinds of horrible. That's the last thing you want. And so the civil disobedience thing is so important. And as an interim thing, when we're going to get Officer Jack McClam on here at 1:30.
Yes.
His deal is absolutely brilliant. His deal is to wake up the military and the police so they know what's going on.
And Mark Dice of the Resistance Manifesto did a similar thing, mailing the troops truth videos and books.
Educate the troops in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, what's going on. Educate the police, because if they refuse to stomp on us, guess what? We don't get stomped on. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put it out right now. Let's have Operation... send the troops DVDs and DVD players. You can go get a DivX DVD player right now for $40 at any retail store. Go get a thing of DVDs. You can burn all of our movies onto disc. You can honestly now burn about 5 or 6 movies onto one disc. You can send them to the troops and educate them. All right, we're going to go back to John in Utah. What do you think, John? Is he still here?
I like exactly what you guys are talking about. And, you know, I wasn't saying that, Jason, that you're saying to lay down your arms. I mean, I know you don't believe that, but the thing for me is people seem to forget, you know, probably because we weren't taught very well in school, that in 1776, you know, our country was born because some guys started shooting military in the streets.
But you got to remember, the military in the streets had similar weapons at the time than the people. I mean, we were outnumbered, you know, 7 ways from Sunday in that war, too, and we ended up winning. But we had the same type of weapons. We don't have...
Actually, we had better weapons. the British used a smooth bore Brown Bess musket, and they shot in the general direction and hoped they'd hit something. And a lot of our guys used rifles.
Yeah, but it's not that way today. You know, we don't have the tanks. And the military personnel, you know, I get a lot of military that get at me on MySpace. And by the way, John, I thank you for the call, and I thank you for bringing up that point. And, you know, they're behind me 100%. We had a military guy call in from Germany yesterday. The thing is, you know, most of these guys that are smart and know what's going on are in the military ain't going to be deployed here. They're going to deploy UN troops, Mexican troops. You know,
the biggest recruitment station I think around is in Mexico. I think. I mean, you go figure. I've seen what the CFR guy who writes for the New York Times. I can't. I'm having a mind block on him. He's
CFR for the New York Times.
Yeah, he's Krauthammer.
Okay.
This guy a few years ago was writing how great it was to sit there and recruit basically a mercenary army from Mexico, you know. So, hey, if you'll serve in the U.S. Army, what, you can't speak English? We don't care. That'll be how, your path to citizenship. And he was saying what a great idea it was. I mean, that is insane, completely insane. You know, just what we need, Hessians, you know. Forget what language they speak, you know. We don't need any Hessians. Sorry. You know, if we would do what Ron Paul says, mind our own business, you know, defend our shores and stop sticking our nose in everybody else's business and stirring up enemies all over the place, we wouldn't need a big army.
I agree. All we need is a force to keep us safe here at home.
And
that'd
that's
be the
not
real
protectionism either.
No, no, or isolationism.
Or
a lot
isolationism.
A lot of people like to say, oh, you're an isolationist. No, I just feel like we should have our own sovereign nation and we can interdeal with other nations based upon those nations.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. You know, and if someone threatens us legitimately, okay, well, we'll see what we'll take care of business. But sit down. We run around looking for trouble.
We have an expansionist policy, let's be honest.
You know, you sit, the CIA runs around meddling in people's countries, overthrowing
Manifest
people's governments.
Manifest destiny at never ended.
You know, sorry. I mean, that's wrong. And if we did this conscription thing is a nightmare. To do what? If you wanted to find out, by the way, you know, which country we're going to attack next, why don't you call up Old Merritt? He'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take another call. Let's go to Chad in New York. Chad, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, greetings from chilly Albany, where it's 9 degrees out.
Yeah, I hear you guys are getting nailed. I hope I can fly in on Saturday morning. Actually, Saturday night I'll be in town, so I'm hoping. I hear Friday is going to be brutal, and then Saturday, hopefully, it stops a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it's like negative 13 with the wind.
Oh,
hey,
God.
Did you see the Colbert Report last night?
Did not. Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, my God, this guy, Alan Kazee, is on there, and he's basically reiterating everything Rahm Emanuel said about how we need a mandatory voluntary service corps or whatever.
Really? Well, I'm going to have to download that. We'll get it off the torrent network. But
definitely.
Was that the 11?
You guys can put this on Infowars.com, and all the listeners, they can go right now to ColbertNation.com and watch the full episode.
And is it last night's or is it the night before? Because I know they play that one at 7 o'clock and then 11. Which one did you see, the 11 o'clock one?
It says Wednesday, January 14th. That was
all
yesterday, right?
Yep, definitely yesterday. All right, man, I'll check it out. Thank you for the call. You know, Colbert is pretty savvy. He's, you know, obviously talked about... Did you see the clip with John King from CNN?
No.
He's got John King on, a CNN anchor for 10-plus years. And he's like, you know, congratulations on you and the media for getting Obama elected. He makes that good point about the media. I chuckled a little bit.
Yeah.
And then John King, you know, said, oh, well, if your point is that Obama is in for a new world order, well, then I think you're correct.
Well, yeah. So little inside joke there.
Inside jokerino. All right, let's go to TD in California. TD, what's on your mind?
How you doing? I'm a big fan of yours, Jason, yours and Alex. I think you guys rock. I got a question about Fabled Enemies.
Sure thing.
And let me set this up. I like to watch planes because I like them. They're nice.
Yeah.
And I like watching home videos of planes as well. And one thing I've noticed is that in any light condition, you know, shadow or whatever, a plane retains its color.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've noticed about the Fabled Enemies video is that the 9/11 footage, the plane in the 9/11 footage does not match the planes that you give examples of. Now, I'm wondering why is it, I'm wondering what color is the plane in the 9/11 footage? Because
which ones are we talking about? Are we talking about the white planes in the 9/11 footage, or are we talking about the ones that hit the towers?
The ones that hit the towers.
All right, well, here's what I've always said, and I thank you for the call, because, you know, a lot of people with ripple effect and all this video footage, is there a pot on the bottom of the plane, you know, all this other stuff. First of all, the first plane that was supposed to hit was an American Airlines jet. Okay, we only have one real video of that, the Naudé brothers footage, and then we also have another, you know, side footage of the explosion. No other real video of the first plane. So that one's kind of off the table on what it is. You don't get a really good look at it. You can't really see any marks on it. Now, the second plane that hits the tower is supposedly a United Airlines plane. Now, in several of the videos, you can see the UA logo on the back of the plane. You can see it in the long shot that where it hits. You can see the UA logo. You can see in the up-close shot where it comes in.
The color scheme on the bottom of the plane.
You can definitely, yeah. Well, the color scheme on the bottom of the plane is what gets me. You're supposed to have this blue underside and two big blue engines, right? Now, when you see the famous CNN footage, when you see any amateur footage of the underside of the plane, you don't see that. It looks like a large gray plane. You don't see any difference between the sides, the bottom, and the engine. So, if any anomalies exist whatsoever with the plane, I think that that's the one to point to physically. I don't know about the pods. I don't know. You know, the flashes are there, but God knows what they are. I am a firm believer that I don't believe that the four planes that they say that were hijacked that were, you know, that had these passengers on them were the ones that hit the buildings. You can listen to the NORAD conversations that morning. They're very confused. They're talking about blips on radar. They actually think the United Airlines 11 is still in the air 45 minutes after it's hit the first tower. So, you know, there's all sorts of scrambles. They track hijacks out of Canada and Alaska throughout the day. At one point, they think that Delta 1989 has a bomb on board. So is there a possibility that they sub some of these planes in? Absolutely. Am I sure about it? No. So there you go. All right, let's go to Matt in Wisconsin. Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, first of all, thanks for all your work on the show and, of course, in the documentaries. First-time caller, so I want to acknowledge Alex Jones, Alan Watt, and Peter Joseph for all their work as well. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I can empathize with the last caller from New York. I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. The wind chill is as low as 20 below zero today. They're saying it's the longest sustained cold snap in over a decade.
Wow.
It's ironic because the reason I'm calling you guys today is because of something I heard last night on Keith Olbermann's show. I don't remember who he was referring to, but the guy he was talking about was referred to as a climate change denier.
Oh.
It blew my mind because I've heard the term Holocaust denier used more and more frequently in the last couple of years, you know, mm-hmm. as an example in reference to people like Ahmadinejad. And it's the first time I've ever heard any pundit use any other word besides Holocaust in connection with the word denier until last night. And so, Jason, now we have climate change deniers.
Yeah, and doesn't it suck? Because I used to love Keith Olbermann. I used to watch SportsCenter all the time, number one. You know, when he was going after the Bush administration, yeah, was he a little bit left-leaning? Sure. Was he a little bit liberal? Sure. Did he go over the top when he was promoting Obama? Yes. But to have him weigh in on an issue like global warming and be so outright disgusting about it sucks.
But the global warming thing, let's get that straight. Because
sure.
First off, the whole thing, there is climate change. Obviously, the climate always changes. It's been changing for millions of years.
Yes.
The question is whether we're causing it. That's the point, whether we're causing it. And if we're causing it, I want to know something. I want to know how it is that the emissions from my pickup truck mm-hmm. are causing the polar ice caps on Mars to shrink.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
What is that?
I'm not sure. We're going to let him go. I think it was back stuff. But yeah, it sucks. I mean,
it's ridiculous. You think about that. If the sun is what causes the climate to change. See, that's the big light bulb in the sky that produces all the energy.
Yeah.
That's what's causing it. Whether it's global warming or global cooling or whatever, it's not us. My pickup truck does not cause global warming or cooling on Jupiter. I'm sorry. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And the Great Global Warming Swindle is about the best documentary you can watch about the subject.
And another thing, while I'm on this subject, when they talk about the Kyoto protocols and making us cut back on our carbon footprint by 30% in an industrial nation, but not the other guys, somebody needs to explain to me how taking a factory in the United States of America that's got the EPA all over their tail all the time and shipping it to China where they can pollute the heck out of whatever, how does that save the planet?
It doesn't. It just bamboozles the American public. Because you remember, why so many minds think alike? Oh, we're brainwashed. That's why. All right, let's go to Gene in Georgia. Gene, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Hey, I like the way y'all are talking today. Who's your co-host today? I didn't catch it.
Bob Dacey, The Simple Truth.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, I'm just a simpleton. I have a local TV talk show here in Austin called Simple Truth. We have a website where you can watch our shows in simpletruthonline.net, simpletruthonline.net, and I've been on the air for about over 9 years, and I am closely associated with Alex Jones. I met him many years ago before he got to be such a big shot.
Okay.
And you know what, before we keep up on your call, don't worry, we're going to go to Eugene. What do you think of the new offices? It's pretty mind-blowing. Remember I was here over the summer. And just from that office to this office, it's totally different, isn't it?
These offices, this is the first time I've been in the new Central Texas Command Center deep behind enemy lines. And I'll tell you something, this is one plush Central Texas Command Center. I want you to know that.
And when all we need is a few more workers to fill it up, because it is pretty empty still here. But this is really from the money bomb.
Yeah.
You know, this is from that, you know, 200 plus grand that we were able to raise in that one night. And thank you so much to all the callers that donated to this. But it's really going to actual work. And by the way, I want to mention, it seems the bullhorn went for about 50 G's last night, and we're going to put that right into the office too. So thank you so much. Folks, you can also support us by going to Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and getting movies like 9/11 Chronicles, Truth Rising, Endgame, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut. All right, Gene, go ahead.
Okay, I was wondering, do you guys realize that the early American colonists were on their way to eliminating all taxation with their form of government known as the Commonwealth. And we had four of them, and they were using colonial script to eliminate all taxation. Are y'all aware of that?
No. Keep going.
Because, see, Benjamin Franklin knew this when he printed colonial script for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We had four of them, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Kentucky, and Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the way it worked was, instead of the taxes being used to pay interest to the international bankers, interest was being used to pay all the taxes. Now, they did have taxes back then, but they were on their way to eliminating all of them. And if you go to Wikipedia and look up Commonwealth or colonial script, you'll start getting some evidence of that. And then you'll see Benjamin Franklin writing the first constitution for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and nowhere in that first constitution does this Masonic forefather talk about the colonial script and what was the essence of a Commonwealth. So he was on his way to destroying the Commonwealth right there. And then when they wrote the Constitution, they wrote the Commonwealth out of existence. And I know, you know, gold and silver is honest money, but the colonial script was honest money as well, because it was backed up by the deed to the property. So paper money can be honest as long as it's backed up. But whenever they let the federal government borrow money without paying it back, that dilutes the wealth. Dilutes the value of the currency.
Well, I can't agree with you more that when you do that, I mean, obviously it's going to dilute the wealth. And I think that, you know, gold and silver are really all that's retained value over the last couple of centuries, don't you, Bob? I mean, you can have these types of paper currency, but you do need something to back it up. And we absolutely don't have that anymore.
Well, they got us off the gold standard a long time ago.
Yeah. I thank you for the call, Gene. We will be back taking your calls. It's the Alex Jones Show. Remember, we'll be broadcasting live at the top of the hour at prisonplanet.tv. We are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex all week, and we're riding shotgun with Bob Dacey of The Simple Truth. Is that thesimpletruth.com, Bob?
Simpletruth.net. Simpletruthonline.net. Simpletruthonline.net. That's where all of our TV shows are archived. And that's I don't even do that website. Another guy does it. It's just like all volunteer stuff, you know, because I'm a techno.
Well, this is all, you know, grassroots stuff.
That's right.
Before we continue taking your calls, and we're going to have Jack McLam on in about half an hour or so, I wanted to tell you about a great opportunity this weekend. We are no doubt on the march to globalism, one world government, and unelected control by the international banking and corporate elite. You need to be prepared. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Heartland Emergency, a local supplier of Mountain House freeze-dry storable food and non-genetically modified food, heirloom seed, will be holding awareness seminars in Fredericksburg and in Austin. They will offer freeze-dried food samples and have packages on hand, hand of their own Southern Pride line, which contains 12,000 non-GMO seeds. The freeze-dry guy will be in from California, along with Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, speaking on the need for self-preparedness. Our nation is under assault from all quarters. Be sure to attend the one of three seminars Friday night, January 16th, 6 p.m. in Fredericksburg at the Ag Building, 95 Frederick Road. Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. in Austin at Brave New Books. Brave New Books, always putting on some great stuff. 1904 Guadalupe Street. This is your chance to learn everything you need to know about freeze-dry storable foods. Again, Friday, the Ag Building in Fredericksburg at 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at Brave New Brooks in Austin at 2 p.m. Call Heartland Emergency at 512-921-9015. That's 512-921-9015 and 512-921-9016 with questions, or visit heartlandemergency.com. You know, we also have another great sponsor that helps the show daily. And that is, you know, if you don't live in the Texas area and you want to get some survivalist seeds, you want to learn about this stuff, survivalistseeds.com. It's really simple. We don't sell any magic pills here. You want to be self-sufficient. You want to grow your own tomatoes, your own corn, your own food in the backyard, survivalistseeds.com. All right, Bob. Let's just continue to just mash through callers. Who do we have last? We had Gene in Georgia, right? We're on Michael in Massachusetts. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not much. Just doing a little radio show, fighting the info war, my man. What's up?
Nice. Hey, I was that guy who called yesterday who kind of gave Ray McGovern a hard time. And I got a comment on monetary policy, but I'd just like to kind of...
Sure. Explain. Now, you're the one that called him about once CIA, always CIA?
Nope. I'm the
You're
guy.
You're Bohemian Grove?
Yeah. And,
okay,
you know,
okay.
The only reason I asked him that is because he just, you know, he seems to not understand that the value system of these folks, they're totally, you know, out of control. And, you know what I mean? He didn't seem to be taking that into account in the final analysis. So, you know, that's the only reason I brought that up. No, I appreciate what everything he's done. You know what I mean?
No, and I'm not trying to come down on you either for having an opinion about that, but. At the same time, just like we discussed earlier, people have their blind spots, you know. David Ray Griffin is a pro-world government guy. Do I think David Ray Griffin overall is a bad guy? No, I don't. I think he's done a lot of good work for 9/11 Truth. I just am very cautious about promoting everything he does because I'm against global government. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Real quick,
go ahead.
On monetary.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just a, you know, most of these different ideas are just tools and stuff like that. You want me to wait until the other side?
Yeah, wait till the other side. We'll talk about monetary policy. We're here with Bob Dacey of the SimpleTruthOnline.net. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We are at the third hour of this worldwide broadcast on the 15th of January, 2009. Already into 2009, Bob. It's pretty incredible. Time flies.
Yeah, absolutely does. As you get older, it gets faster too, Jason. I got bad news for you.
Well, good thing I'm keeping it young. we are live at PrisonPlanet.tv for all you subscribers. Get to check out the new office. One of my last days here. It's kind of sad. You know, this office is just almost too good to leave.
Yeah.
We are talking monetary policy. And Michael, you had a comment?
I just kind of want to help people out in the way they look at these things. I think sometimes people look at it like, you know, this is the, you know, how you defeat that. You know what I mean? I think we need to look at it differently. You've got a couple different ways to go about this thing. You got hard currency, which is gold and silver, mm-hmm. or you got, you know, paper fiat, which is issued, you know, let's just say it's issued by the Treasury with no interest. And then you've got, you know, and then you've got kind of like the Federal Reserve System, which is basically they have their cake and eat it too. They get to use paper money, you know, with no backup, and, you know, they get to control the money supply.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at it this way. A gold, you know, gold and silver currency, it isn't a silver bullet. Let's say that they have a gold currency for a while and they consolidate all the gold into themselves. And then, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, they have their corrupt government take all the gold away from the people.
Well, they've had that happen before, man. I mean, all right, even like in this country, what was it, during World War II, Roosevelt had all the gold rounded up, correct?
Been there, done that. It was before.
And that's in this country.
That was before World War II.
It was before World War II. So, listen, your hard assets aren't always safe either. In fact, I think there's a law that says unless the coin is minted before a certain date in the early 1900s, they can come and take it again, right?
Nothing is safe. they got a law that's going to prohibit them from stealing certain types of gold. There's a law, really?
I believe there is.
They're gonna like obey their own law, right?
And sure, the reason that I go into hard currency, and I don't know if that's the complete answer to the, you know, the stock market collapse, the financial situation. I'm just saying that gold and silver have retained a value through the centuries and have always been sought after by not only the wealthy but the commoner as well. So it's a good, at least it's something for barter. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's going to solve our monetary system. I would like to see more Ron Paul-type policies take place in this country so we do have something to back our money up other than the industry that doesn't exist in this country anymore.
The value of gold and silver is a convention that has worked for centuries and centuries,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps the money powers from artificially inflating the money supply and hurting everybody's money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem we have nowadays. They just print it out of nothing. Willy-nilly, and they don't care about the consequences to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Gold, if you had a system which was backed by gold, backed by silver or whatever, they couldn't do that, and then they'd have to behave themselves. But that's just not the way we have it right now.
Yeah, we got to jump. We got so many callers. I thank you for the call, Michael. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
I got a I got a problem with my membership, but maybe that can be taken care of when I'm done.
Yeah, we can't do customer service over the phone.
I know that.
All right, yeah.
But I did want to say something. I was listening to the one gentleman. He was, you know, pretty exasperated about, you know, what do? We hear all this information, and you know, what are we supposed to do with the information?
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the shows over and over,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, there's so much going on. We're being bombarded from every single angle, and it's like you jump from one subject to the next. But I think that, you know, when push comes to shove, when they come to take us out of our houses, that's when you're going to see the real doo-doo hit the fan, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the people are going to start fighting back.
Well, I hope that the people fight back before that. I hope it doesn't come to roundups. I mean, MTV put out a commercial last year where basically they said that the Holocaust could happen again in this country, and they had people rounded up out of subway stations and out of their homes into trucks. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Keep taking your calls. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are just busting through your calls here at the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burma, sitting in all week. We're going to go to Robert, John, Bob, Jesse, and more. But first, I want to play this for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. These are a couple commercials that MTV put out, think.mtv.com put out last year, and they basically are warning the average Joe that, hey, guess what? The Holocaust happened to people just like us that didn't really think it was possible. So let's play the clip. There you have it. Now, I know that doesn't make for great radio because you can't see what's going on. But in the first one, basically people are rounded up right out of a subway, Bob.
Yeah. And the second one, they're rounded up right out of their house.
Mm-hmm. And what was waiting for them outside? Big trucks
nice
full of
truck.
other people from
the
family.
Which, of course, exactly what Jack McClam has always said. When the tyranny comes, it's wearing a uniform.
Exactly. And we're going to have McClam on in about 20 minutes. All right. Let's take some callers. Let's go to, let's see who hasn't hung up on me yet. I believe Robert in California, we just went to, right? So we're on, oh, Robert in California is next. Good. Let's go to Robert in California then.
How you doing, Jason?
Good.
No, I haven't hung up on you, but I'm a little bit pet peeved today.
Okay.
Okay.
Everybody's mad at me today.
Well, I'm not really mad at you, but, you know, it's just I keep hearing this over and over again about these large marches, large demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that does bring somewhat media attention and put the spotlight on some of the problem. But the really thing that's really going to change things is if we don't get in there and start grabbing back the handles of government.
Mm-hmm.
We did that here in Los Angeles County. Several of us who worked on Dr. Paul's campaign ran for the Republican Central Committee and got elected.
That's awesome. So it's kind of like campaign for liberty stuff, right? Because I love what Ron Paul did out of that election. He didn't win, but he started an organization that is supposed to get people like ourselves, grassroots, elected into office so that we can make a change. I think that everybody out there that can run for a city council member or a local state senator or a member of Congress should do so.
And
continue.
That dovetails with the with G. Edward Griffin's organization, Freedom Force International.
Yes, Freedom
Same
Force.
Thing. You lost the power incrementally, and now you got to take it back incrementally. Rather than just talk about it and gripe about it, you go out there and you run for dog catcher.
That's right. All right, continue, man.
Right, and so a few of us even got onto the executive board. Our biggest problem now is basically like any political organization, especially on the Republican side, since they've sort of ruined the name, is getting people registered as Republicans, getting other Republicans elected, and raising money.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the big one, raising money, helps shows that those of us who actually went out and put ourselves into the wheels to, say that we don't really need money from special interest or people that we don't necessarily want to be friendly with. And then also choosing candidates within your local area to run. That's what the Central Committee does, is basically do endorsements and do campaign research and development. And I think they have these organizations, or what we call them, precinct leaders or block captains, all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But until we start grabbing at the bottom and then reaching for the top, we're never going to change the top, because once you take away their base of power and their funding, which is pretty much what we'd like to do, nothing's going to happen. All the marches, all the protests.
Well, I'm with
help.
You, man. I mean, first of all, I think that marches do help, but we have not gotten the numbers that we need to make ourselves relevant in the everyday media, number one. Number two, I totally and completely agree with you that we need to put ourselves into office. But I look at myself, I'm like, am I ready to commit, 2 years of my life into some local office? Am I ready to do that? Hopefully somebody else out there is, and maybe that's just not my calling, Bob. But, a couple of my friends, upstate New York guys, actually, I'm an upstate New York guy. My friends that I went to college with, they were from Long Island, and they went all the way out to Minnesota for the big Ron Paul rally. And one of the two of them, actually got chosen by Campaign for Liberty to run for local office and be backed by the organization this year. I'm not sure if he won. But it shows how, he was in his mid-20s, how young people can get involved, how old people can get involved. And I'm with this guy. I mean, I think that we do have to take back local office. I think the smaller you start, the bigger you'll get. I don't think that you're going to find many of us able to win a congressional election or an actual Senate election. Hell, Cindy Sheehan couldn't even win her congressional spot. And there was enough people out there that didn't want the incumbent Pelosi, whether they fudged the numbers or whatever. There was somebody that had a face, a name, and, honestly, a message that I could get behind. Let's end the war.
We're talking about county commissioners and things like that, mayors, that type of thing, where they can have an impact on their local community.
Yeah.
Here in Austin, a few years ago, and Alex Jones actually, kind of led the thing. We had got the city council to pass a resolution against the Patriot Act.
I remember that.
I mean, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. You got to go from the bottom up, and it may not be glamorous, to be a county commissioner. I don't know. But things like that have to be done all over the country.
I'm almost sure that it is absolutely not glamorous. Robert, I thank you for the call. All right, let's jump to our next caller. I believe we are on John in Canada. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going?
Good.
Good. So I'm going to be a bit of a Christ advocate here. I want to ask you, how much money do we need to give you in charity before you guys understand just the most basic precepts of what justice is? The problem with you guys hijacking our freedom movement is that you won't acknowledge this simple thing. And instead you
look,
ask
dude,
and hang
look,
people.
Look, man, we're in the real world. We don't live on fairy tales and clouds.
Yeah, hey.
And
okay,
you know what? You need to hold on. You need to pay people. The guy running my show right now across the way, he has to make a living. You know what I mean? He has to be able to pay his rent. I have to be able to pay my rent, my garbage, my electric, somebody to watch my dogs when I'm gone. I'm not rocking any diamonds in the prisonplanet.tv. You got this? This is a metal necklace that cost me $5.
Well, what is his point?
His point is that we're hijacking the free movement because we take money. Because we take money.
Is that, was that your point?
Yeah, it's absolutely his point. Listen.
Is it? Is he still on?
He's not.
Yeah,
I don't know if they, all right, so what's your point?
Is that your point?
My point, for example, Ray McGovern, you had him on. Ray McGovern is fully cognizantly aware that the Bush administration doctored the National Intelligence Estimate on invading Iraq. They took the CIA's words, rewrote entire paragraphs, and conned you as a victim to die. Now, as a coward, hijacking our freedom movement, won't mention that. Like, you don't mention...
I took McGovern to task on a lot of things, including the appointments of the Obama administration, Rahm Emanuel, Robert Gates. I got what I could out of him. Hold on. I got what I could out of him. The guy's not even in office yet. We're 5 days away from being inaugurated. Okay? So what else did you want me to tell? He talked about the Bohemian Grove, for Christ's sake. I also talked about, what else? Hold on. What else I talked to him about? I also talked to him about Obama and Hillary attended Bilderberg. So in a less than hour period, I brought up a lot of good points that were against his point of view. I don't know if you want me to viciously attack every guest that comes on here, but then we're not going to have guests. Go ahead.
Not at all. You know, the other thing you guys got a problem with is putting words in other people's mouths. It would be great if I could just speak for myself, you know.
You can't speak for yourself when you accuse us of hijacking the freedom movement. Who is the freedom? Who the hell are you?
Justice.
I mean, listen, we're all people. And
justice,
we're not...
Justice,
You're justice?
No, justice requires evidence to prove someone's guilt or innocence. By Bush closing in 9/11 investigations immediately after the terrorist event, he is committing the highest act of treason. But you guys go, he's just a puppet. Never mind him.
He is a puppet. Listen. Do you realize yesterday, this is something I haven't talked about on the show, and you keep screaming, we're going to let him go because I can't take it. But it's just totally ridiculous, mentally ill, jealousy or something.
The deal is, and I want to see if I can...
He is a puppet.
I want to see if I can communicate this to that fellow. Listen... yes, he is a puppet. When we say Bush did this and Bush did that, we know that he is a representative. He is a poster child for a totalitarian oligarchy. We know that he has no power into himself. He's being told what to do. He's a puppet. So he's a poster child. When you say Obama did this or Obama did that, it's not him. It's his handlers. It's his controllers. You know,
and we're not supposed to take any money, Bob. How dare I make a movie and charge for it?
Even though I
give it all away for free. We give it all. This will be on YouTube later today, all for free.
Well, the money thing, I don't understand. You know, that's funny. Dan Rather, when he was head of the CBS News, he could get paid a couple of $1 million a year, and he's credible, right? but these guys, you guys, I know about this operation a little bit. It's always just by skin of the teeth, all the time.
This is the first big expansion ever done.
Yeah, I mean, the previous Central Texas Command Center was nothing to.
It was about twice the size of this office we're in.
Right, you know, come on, you've got to generate the cash in order to run an operation, and that's just tough. One thing I love about my show, The Simple Truth. Since it's all volunteer and there is no money involved, there's no commercials, no anything, I'm totally free to say whatever the heck I want, and I don't care who I tick off. And I know that when you run a commercial operation, you got to be careful about, you might want to just stay away from this subject because an advertiser might not like it. But that's the real world, man. if you want to get the information out, you got to get the information out. And
you got to have a little scratch.
You got to have some money, and that's just the way it works.
You know, I haven't talked about this. I'm kind of glad he called in about 9/11. They just released over 1,000 interviews that the 9/11 Commission on their website conducted. I didn't see William Rodriguez's name there. I didn't see Barry Jennings's name either.
What about William Wright?
I don't think I saw Robert Wright's either.
Robert Wright.
It's the Alex Jones Show. The attackers are in full force. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Look out your window, baby, there's a scene you like to catch.
It's the Alex Jones Show. We are live on PrisonPlanet.tv for all those subscribers out there giving us their evil money that helps to fund this program here, Bob.
Yeah, that's just terrible. You know, it's a horrible thing, Jason, that somebody has enough desire and enough effort and enough work and enough genius to be able to figure out how to make a successful commercial enterprise out of telling the truth. You know, what a concept.
And to infiltrate the biggest, the most uncontrollable source of media out there, the internet.
Yeah,
really. Utilize that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Alex is what, being punished because of his success? I mean, I'm sure there's some jealousy out there, you know, but look, I admire that. I have never seen anybody that works like Alex. I can't, you know, it's hard to be around Alex. He emanates energy.
Oh yeah.
And he drains energy from other people. I know that. He drains it from me. The guy is unstoppable. And I watched him when he got fired back in 98 from KJFK because he wouldn't shut up about Clinton. I mean, the people said, hey, you got to stop talking about this stuff. You stop talking about the Davidians. Alex wouldn't shut up. He doesn't really care about the money. I know he doesn't really care about the money. I've known the guy for 10 years. The money is a necessity to get done what he needs to get done, which is communicate.
Yeah, it's a necessity to put out pictures that thousands, if not millions, of people see.
Exactly.
And to put out a four-hour radio program every day.
Yeah,
a two-hour TV show every day. I mean, and just so much more. I mean, to go to events, to write all these articles, to host, I believe, five different websites.
The Energizer Bunny, man.
All right. We're going to take your calls through this segment, and then we're going to have Officer Jack McLam on, and then Russell Wood on property taxes. It's just unbelievable. It's just like you can never, ever, ever do enough. All right, let's just talk 9/11 for a second before we go back to calls, because this is important. This is a lot of information that independent researchers are going to have to go through. We're talking about, you know, people in FEMA being interviewed, people in the CIA. Like you were saying, you were asking whether or not Robert Wright had been. There's an index of all of them, and they're all available in PDF format. I got to scan it over really lightly last night.
If you could look at your archive when we sent you that video of ours when I was talking to the chairman of the 911 commission back in 2006,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Part that didn't get in your film was my questioning him about Robert Wright.
Yeah.
I asked him about Robert Wright. I said, well, Robert Wright went public. Did you interview Robert Wright? And he says, well, we might have. And I said, well, it's not in the report. And he said, well, he might have been.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, we interviewed 2,000 people. I don't know. No. And I said Robert Wright was tracking the money from the Islamic charities coming from Saudi Arabia into this country, and the FBI told him to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's national security. National security. They always bring up that national security thing whenever something
it's the carte blanche answer for none of your goddamn business.
Yeah, shut up. Can't go there. National security.
Yeah. All right, let's take Jesse in Wisconsin. Jesse, what's on your mind?
Hey, I was just calling up. I've got a couple issues on my mind.
Sure.
The first one, you're going to be talking with your next guest about taxes and ordinances and things like that going on in cities. I just found out today, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, there's new zoning rules going on to adapt to climate change as the city of Madison, Wisconsin, eyes ordinances to adapt to climate change. That's the title. I actually went on the city of Madison webpage, and the PDF that had all this information is now completely blank. There's like 8 blank pages. So it's going to be hard for listeners to actually go look at that.
Look for the cached version, man. If you bring it up into a Google search, you might be able to get lucky and get the cached version. That's often how I get news stories that they pull. Continue.
There is a businessandmedia.org has the just the news article explaining some of this on there. But basically what they want to do, it sounds good on the surface. For instance, if you cut down a tree on your property, the ordinance will be you have to plant 2 more. And that sounds good, but sometimes, you know, you have to take a tree out because it's ruining the sewage lines that lead to the streets and things like that, and planting 2 more trees will just give you the same problem 20 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, also things like...
That's conditioning. It's all just conditioning.
I remember the Plant a Tree Foundation when I was a kid. You know, they make everything out to be like the, you know, the best thing ever, and, you know, we're saving the planet, and there's a good feeling we're all going to recycle, blah, 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 blah.
I remember when Clinton was president, he bulldozed a bunch of trees into the Grand Canyon so that the camera view would be better for his saving the environment thing.
I don't even know if I'm against that. All right, thank you so much for the call.
Jesse. Thing. Aside from this, a lot of people are talking about buying gold and silver these days. I just let the listeners know and be aware that buying gold and silver is not just as easy as just taking your money down and buying it. You should really pay attention to the ratio. You know, the closer it is to 80 to 1, you'd buy silver. The closer it is to 40 to 1, you'd buy gold. And that way you can actually create some wealth out of your own investments on top of the gold and silver actually just being in your safe or whatnot.
All right, man. I thank you for the call, Jesse. I am not a gold expert. I just know that it's shiny and it retains value. And it seems to double in value every few years. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, riding shotgun with Bob Dacey. All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. We are back with Bob Dacey riding shotgun, and hopefully we've got Officer Jack McLam on the line. He does another great program here at GCN. And we've had a lot of people in an uproar over the gun issue today. So what better guest to have on other than Officer Jack McLam, one of the guys that really was on the front lines of educating not only the populace, but like you said, the police and military about the New World Order, global government, and why it's so important to, you know, keep our Second Amendment and have well-organized militias. Mr. McLam, are you with us?
I'm here, Brother Jason and Bob. Good to be back on with you.
Well, why don't you just give the listeners just a little summation of who you are and where they can get your information?
Well, I'm in my 29th year as a volunteer educating our police and soldiers, and I have a website of one of our associations, Police and Military Against the New World Order. At you find that very easily by going to www.jackmclamb, and it's spelled M-C, capital L-A-M-B, just like a lamb, mclamb.org. JackMcLam.org, and you'll find all of my qualifications there. I was the most highly decorated police officer in the history of Phoenix, Arizona, and after I became a constitutionalist and started serving the people instead of serving the city, I became the most fired officer in the history of Phoenix, Arizona, and so I started writing my police and military publication, Aid and Abet, police military newsletter on constitutional issues, and that really ticked them off because they didn't want our police and military to even be thinking about the Constitution. They just want them to follow their corrupt orders and do what they're told to do. And I took issue with that because I saw firsthand how we were committing crimes. We police officers were committing crimes supposedly to arrest the criminals. We would have to become criminals to arrest the criminals, and that offended me as a Christian police officer. And so after taking so much of that for about 3 years, I became the most highly decorated officer in Phoenix, Arizona history, and then I began to change after I had a man about 85, 90 years old upset me because I didn't know the Constitution. And in a speech I was giving out at Sun City, Arizona for senior citizens on how they could protect themselves from muggings and rapes and house break-ins and so forth, they were undergoing quite a serious attack. As they'd cash their Social Security checks, they would be attacked and have it taken away from them. So they invited me out to speak, and an 85, 90-year-old man embarrassed me to tears almost there as he began to say, "Didn't you swear an oath to the Constitution of the United States?" And I said, "Well, certainly I did, or to the Constitution and the people and so forth." And I said, "Yes, I did. I did it when I was in during the Vietnam War, took that oath, and then I took the oath when I became a police officer." And he began to question me about the Constitution, and I didn't have any answers for him, like what is the Sixth Amendment to the Bill of Rights and you know, so forth and so on. And he just embarrassed me to pieces. And I hated that man at that time. I mean, I really hated him. And I went home that night feeling that I could go out underneath the door with it closed. I was so low and so upset. But after about 2 weeks of not sleeping at night, God was working on me, brother. And so finally I sat up in the middle of the bed one night and realized that that little 85, 90-year-old man was right. I should have known the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that I had sworn to protect. And so I went right down to the library, and the city library had trouble finding a Constitution and Bill of Rights for me. But they finally found it, and I took it home and studied it, and then joined a constitutional group in Mesa, Arizona, where I was quite shocked that when I got there at this meeting, I didn't know it was a tax protest meeting, and I was everybody. You went around the room and told who you are and what you do for a living. So when they got to me, I told them I was a Phoenix police officer and the position I served in, and everybody really got quiet, you know. And that night when I left, they all walked me out to the car and waved to me, waved goodbye. Well, I continued to go to these constitutional training meetings for several weeks, and then the leader told me, he says, the reason we walked you out to your car that night was so you wouldn't copy down our license plates numbers when you left. And I said, oh, okay. And so we became good friends after several months of me attending the meetings and really being earnestly seeking to learn about my constitutional oath. So when I came back to the police department, I started asking my sergeant and my captain and on up through the chain of command if they knew what was in the Constitution, because we were regularly violating our constitutional oath, and I didn't know that until I studied it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that we're violating our oath all the time, and of course the officers didn't know what their oath pertained of, like me. So I started my newsletter, Constitutional Issues for Lawmen and Soldiers, and boy, that blew a hole in my career, because they liked soldiers and police not knowing about the Constitution, and so they could be told to do things that were criminal and a violation of their constitutional oath, and they'd do it because they didn't know about it. So I was set out to change that, and so then I was fired repeatedly for my constitutional work, but the neat thing about it was I had a very liberal civil service board in the city of Phoenix, and when a police officer was fired, he could go before the civil service board, or she, and state their case, and in each case, when I would go in and tell them about my constitutional writings to my fellow police officers, they would return me to work with full back pay. Say, you can't fire a man for what he believes and what he says. The very liberal civil service board said they didn't agree with anything I wrote in my constitutional publication, but they realized I had a right to write it to my fellow officers, so they returned me to work each time. And then my chief decided to try to get me killed, you know, because he couldn't get rid of me any other time. And he had state police, federal police getting a hold of him, telling him to stop McLam for writing this constitutional publication. So he decided on a plan. He'd put me out in the high crime area of South Phoenix, the war zone of South Phoenix, we call it, where I always did work, but he put me out on midnights and told all the police officers, 2,500 of us, that not to go. If McLam calls for a backup, don't go to aid him. Don't go if he calls for a backup. Do not go and help him. So the chief was trying to get me killed. Of course, my chief of police, Ruben Ortega, was a murderer anyway. He had murdered a man and got away with it because he was chief of police. But he was going to murder me, you know. So it was tough for the next 5 years. I worked without a backup, in the war zone of South Phoenix and got injured numerous times. And finally, the city doctors realized that Ruben Ortega, the chief, was trying to get me killed because they kept patching me up. And so I arrested a drug smuggler, illegal alien, out of Mexico one morning, Sunday morning, and we got in a big fight that lasted almost an hour, and nobody would come as a backup for me. And so finally it ended up, I was so injured with my neck and back and shoulder that all I could do was hold on to this guy's foot. I had a foot arm lock on his foot, and he couldn't get away. So finally, he was dragging me down the street, and another officer drove by and saw me, and he stopped and helped me. He wasn't supposed to, but he did, and we got him under arrest. And so when I went to the city doctors that time, they told me that they were not going to release me to go back to work. They were going to retire me out. And so my very evil police chief, Ruben Ortega, fought my retirement, didn't want to give me any retirement pay at all, even though I was disabled. And so it was a battle, but I finally retired out with a small pension, and I've been doing this work now for 29 years of trying to educate our police and soldiers to try to get them to realize that they have an oath and responsibility to the people, not to the city.
Jack, this is Bob Dacey. I wanted to ask you something here. I never have had the pleasure of meeting you in person. I would love to do that because I really admire what you do.
Thank you, Brother Bob.
You take it right to the bottom line. You always say that if tyranny comes, it's going to be wearing a uniform.
That's right.
And your whole thing is to wake up the police and the military as to what their oath really means to the Constitution.
Right.
Uh-huh. I know you had that Operation Vampire Killer 2000. I read that thing, and everything in it is just right on. I want to ask you this question. This is kind of a down-to-earth question in terms of what a beat cop experiences.
Yes.
Because in Austin, we're having some problems, constitutional problems with certain things. And how does a beat cop overcome the defense of necessity where his superiors say, well, guys, we just got to do this. You know, we have to do this particular procedure because we just have to save the children or keep the baby safe or whatever. How does a cop defend against that when what he's being told to do is illegal?
Well, luckily, I got into law enforcement in 1976, and at that time, we had a nightstick, a gun, and some pepper spray. And that was it. We didn't have stun guns. We didn't have anything else. And we handled it mano-a-mano. You know, we would get in a fist fight with somebody or wrestling match with somebody and take them down, or they'd take us down, one or the other. But we always had radio there to call for a backup, so usually we would win. But I did lose seven of my brother officers during the years I was on the force there in the war zone of South Phoenix.
Now, I'm talking about when the powers that be in the police department want their cops to do something which is constitutionally questionable. Like, for example, here in Austin, we're having this big dispute about what we call vampire cops, where they pull somebody over for driving while intoxicated, and when he uses his Fifth Amendment to not cooperate, they forcibly take blood from him. And, do you have a position on that particular issue, the vampire cop versus the Fifth Amendment?
Well, it is totally within the purview of the Constitution that a person say no to giving evidence to convict them, even blood.
Yeah, but the cops nowadays say, yeah, but we just have to.
Well,
because this guy might crash into somebody.
Yeah, they don't know anything about the Constitution. That's the sad thing. The new cops coming on, matter of fact, they're hiring cops after I went through, and they finally got rid of me through retirement. They changed the hiring practices that no more would they hire a Christian cop with a high moral value, with high moral values. They just wouldn't do it because I was not, and I convinced other Christian police officers and other police officers not to do anything criminal. because it is not what we should do to get a person into jail. And so I was there on the scene many times. Like one night, some officers stopped a patriot, and the patriot knew questions to ask and comments to say, and so he called for a backup, and I appeared on the scene with some other officers there, and he had a gun on the front seat that was out in the open. And so to punish him, the officers decided that they would say that his coat was over the gun and book him for a felony for having a concealed weapon in the vehicle. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. If you do, I'm going to tell, you know. And so they didn't do it. But another thing we started doing in the city of Phoenix is that if we had somebody we didn't like a patriot, a Christian or a patriot, that would ask us questions that we couldn't answer about the Constitution or something, then we would fall down and scream and say, he pushed me, he pushed me. And so we would turn a misdemeanor stop into a felony against the person. And, of course, he didn't push you, but it would become a felony. So I would reject that and tell the officers in my newsletter about, don't do this because you become a criminal just like the criminals we're trying to arrest, you know.
Right.
And so you're right. It's today, it's even more so that we commit crimes. We get on the witness stand and lie against somebody. And,
Procedural things, like, for example, we have new technology now that wasn't available during the time the Constitution was written.
Yeah.
You know, when the Bill of Rights was written.
Right.
And, you know, the Fifth Amendment says you cannot search somebody's houses or papers or personal effects, you know, without reasonable cause, going to a judge and getting a warrant.
Right.
And all that. And it describes the persons to the things to be seized and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But now, I'm playing devil's advocate here now.
Uh-huh.
Now we have technology where the evidence of the crime is in your body in terms of, say, driving while intoxicated, and they want that evidence.
Yeah.
And so it's not in your house anymore, the evidence. It's in your body. And so, you know, heretofore what's supposedly legal is they take you downtown to a medical facility if you refuse to cooperate. And forcibly draw your blood.
Well, that's totally unconstitutional, as you know. But they don't go by the Constitution anymore because it restricts them too much. We're going into a totalitarian state here in this country, and they don't want to use the Constitution and don't want you to use the Constitution anymore. But that is totally unconstitutional for them to make. You should be able to decide. Mm-hmm. If you want to give blood or if you want to do the breathalyzer test, and it used to be where you could make that decision. Now, they could fine you by taking your license away for a couple years and so forth. There wasn't much you could do about that, but you did have a right to say no to those kind of tests. But now that they've thrown the Constitution out, they do whatever they want.
All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this, Infowars.com. Folks, we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Berman, sitting in all week for Alex. Bob Dacey riding shotgun, and we're with Jack McLam, who's really been at this almost 30 years. Folks, before the internet, there were people like Jack McLam that would actually, they'd make a newsletter. Isn't that, it's so bizarre to hear people that, but there were people before Alex Jones, there will be people after Alex Jones, and, you know, Jack is one of those guys that took the technology at the time to the next level. You know, as I described in the first segment in the beginning of the show, often when I go through a lot of these news clips and they're giving the anti-side to global government or the New World Order, they're interviewing Jack McLam. So it's just a great privilege to have you on the program, and it's a great privilege to have you out here waking up even more military police and even just common listeners.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, for those listeners out there that don't know, I'm a military veteran and had a top secret clearance during the Vietnam War, and so I do communicate very well with my fellow soldiers out there, too, about their constitutional oath and everything.
Speaking of the constitutional oath, Jack, this is something that happened to me 4 years ago. I was interviewing here locally in Austin a sheriff's candidate running for sheriff, county sheriff. And I asked him the question, is I asked him if he would swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and he said absolutely. I asked him if the Bill of Rights was part of the Constitution. He said, oh, of course. And then I asked him if the Fourth Amendment was part of the Constitution. He said, oh, absolutely, part of the Bill of Rights. Yes, sir. He said, all officers swear an oath to protect and defend that.
And then
I asked him this question. I said, well, if the feds came into town and they were having a little manpower shortage and they wanted your help to search my house without a warrant, would you do it? And he said, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. We're taught in the city departments that the feds are our superiors. And when they come to town, we wine and dine them and give them the keys to the city, which is absolutely absurd. We swore to protect the Constitution and the people, not the city or not the federal government.
Well, what this guy told me in response to that, he said, I would search your house because if the feds wanted me to, because they would have reasonable cause. And I said, well, sir, if they had reasonable cause, they can get a warrant. And then he said this. He said, it's not my job as a law enforcement officer to interpret the law.
Oh, so, brother.
Basically, this guy's the Travis County Sheriff right now, Greg Hamilton.
Boy, that's a shame. that's a shame because he's so wrong.
I know. And it's pathetic, but the problem is, and you identify it, they swear an oath to protect and defend a document they haven't read and don't understand.
That's right. I had to go out and take year training from a very good organization there in Mesa, Arizona, to learn all about my oath and all about the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and what I swore to. And we don't give them any training like that. We have them take the oath and then tell them to forget it.
Well, that's what you're here for, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder how successful do you think you've been over all these years? How many cops and military personnel actually you think understand the Constitution, understand the Bill of Rights, understand the oath?
Well, sadly, most of them are retired now, except the ones we're reaching today. You know, we're reaching more today, but we've been at it 29 years, and so as volunteers here, and a lot of them have retired out. But we, like the Vampire Killer 2000, we've got like 2,500,000 copies out there. And it's done an absolutely fantastic job. We get officers and soldiers that contact us, even retired ones who had read the Operation Vampire Killer 2000. And some were thrown out of office as police officers and soldiers because they read it, too.
Well, anytime you're trying to hand out information about the Constitution and Bill of Rights being really the only authority in this country, you're gone after. It's unfortunate. We thank you so much for joining us. We'll have Russell Wood at the top of the hour. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. It's the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I get pumped every time I hear this music. It's just like, yeah, taking on the empire.
Alex always has the coolest music. It's not fair.
He does have the coolest music. You're right. This is some cool music. Oh, I am Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex all week. Folks, please support us. Don't listen to that ridiculous caller about an hour ago saying that we're, you know, taking all this money and doing God knows what with it. I don't have a yacht. I ain't rocking diamonds. There's no gold around my neck. We need your support so we can make more videos. We can do a four-hour radio show a day. You know, I can do a two-hour weekend program. I mean, Alex is on the air for 22 hours at least, and that's when he doesn't go into overdrive a week, and that's on air. Do you know how much preparation it takes to do a four-hour radio show? I got to get here an hour early just so I can go over the news. It's unbelievable. We're riding shotgun with Bob Dacey, of course, of thesimpletruthonline.net. And we're about to welcome our guest, C. Russell Wood, who is a farmer from Missouri Arcs and the president of Property Rights Congress. He and his organization have protested against the NAIS premise for IDs against hunting licenses on privately owned property, along with other property rights issues. Thanks for joining us, Russell.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Why don't you give the viewers just a brief synopsis of who you are and what this is all about?
Okay. We're a group of property owners here in Missouri, basically. We look out for the interests of private property rights. We try to ward off the never-ending infringement by non-governmental organizations as well as governmental organizations. Our latest battle here is dealing with the Missouri Department of Conservation. It was on your program about a month ago, and the situation then was that they were proposing several rate increases, but the thing that affected us most was their plan, their request. They currently permit no charge permits for hunting deer and turkey on your own property if you own 5 acres. They wanted to extend that to so you had to own 80 acres. And that affected some 70,000, 80,000 landowners that would have to then start buying permits to hunt on their own property. And they also wanted to have you register the legal description of your property into this property registry that would be for the Missouri Department of Conservation. They withdrew virtually all of their requests for change except the property registration part. That they are still hanging on to, but they did back off the implementation date for 6 months, and they changed the rhetoric. They softened the rhetoric. Before the comment period, which ran back in December, before that, they were telling us how it was going to be. After they received, now these are their numbers, I don't know how accurate they are, but the numbers they put out was that they received 17,000 comments from 10,000 people in a 30-day period. Our organization, our Ozark Property Rights Congress Group, we submitted a letter to the director of the Missouri Department of Conservation explaining to them what we would do as property owners, that we would not buy their permits, that we would post our property and not allow hunting with those who had permits and so forth, and that we weren't going to register our property.
All right, well, we'll come back right after this, Russell. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back with Russell Wood. And Russell, I just want to see if I've gotten all the information correctly. First of all, they want you to get a permit to hunt on your own land. And it used to be that if you own 10 acres, you didn't need this permit, but now you have to own up to 80 acres to be without this permit. Secondly, when you do get this permit, they also want you to give a record of all of your property. And then the third thing, I'm not quite sure if I got this right, but they're going to allow other people who have permits to hunt on your privately owned land?
That is the landowner's prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
What we as landowners are wanting to do is just post our property for no hunting until this whole matter is resolved. Now, the part about the acreage limitations, they've dropped that.
Okay.
If you own at least 5 acres, they will give you a no-cost, a free permit. But you know there's something about these permits. They want you to have one. They won't charge you for it. But when you get these permits, you sign them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do this, as is with so many other things that you're asked to sign, it'll say, by signing this, you agree to, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And therein, you give away quite often so many of your rights, and there's a big question as to what authority people such as Conservation Department employees have. But once you've signed these permits, if you'll read the fine print, you'll see that by signing this permit, you give us the authority to do so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Which basically, means, you're turning over your authority to the state, whereas you're a sovereign individual, and it's your property, and you should be able to do whatever you like on it. You shouldn't have to beg for permission and then put yourself under the legislation of somebody else. Bob?
Russell, this is Bob Dacey. I'm trying to understand. You know, when they come up with stuff like this, they always have some ostensible reason why it's wonderful and good. How do they try to sell this garbage?
Okay, the reasons that they gave for this was that it would raise more money for them, which they feel they are cash-strapped.
Oh,
the fact of the matter is, they are amongst the very richest of any wildlife management agency in the nation.
So basically, it's just a money grab. They just want to get some more money and take more control of your land.
That's their excuse, but
that's
it's
exactly
also a power grab.
It's a power grab and a money grab, both, right? Oh, but figures.
That's exactly right. And the money part, they're the largest single landowner in the state of Missouri. They have 2,300 employees. They're hardly a pauper group. We have here, they were able to get a constitutional amendment passed wherein they get a 1/8 cent sales tax forever. There is no ending on it. There is no control over it by the legislature. It goes directly to them.
So basically, you're the milk cow, and they're the milking machine.
And they want to put more stringent regulations on us. The one thing they're hanging on, now they backed off on the rest of it, but on this one thing, if they want us to register our property, now you know that that will be forming a nexus with them. Once you give them your legal description and sign up so you can get this pre-permit to hunt on your own property, and you know the language of that is so offensive. They say that they will issue you a privilege. We own the land. Why do we have to have a state agency give us a privilege?
That's exactly right. It's your land, The Constitution says you have the right to life, liberty, and happiness. It is your property. You should be able to do what you want there. You're not breaking any laws. But what they want to do is they want to put you under some type of legislation. They want some more money from you. And really, I think they also want a description of your land, Bob. I think they'd like to have the lay of your land and say, oh, well, it looks like you've been under-reporting on your taxes. Your land's worth a little bit more, so I think we're going to juice you a little bit harder on the IRS. This is really multifaceted. How do people help you, Russell? How can the listeners get involved?
The contacts that were made directly to the Department of Conservation was a big, big help in this. Like I said, they said they got contacts from 10,000 people. This goes back to, we hear so often that, well, it's a federal law. Well, it's a state law. Nothing we can do about it. That isn't true. We're still governed by the consent of the governed. And if we give away these rights and these privileges, then, of course, there are always those agencies and their friends in the non-governmental agencies that want to control our land. They don't necessarily so much want to own it. They don't have to if they can control it. And let us be out the expense and responsibility for the land. But there seems to be no end to this. But we don't have to give away these rights and privileges. And they cannot necessarily take them unless we do cooperate with them.
And that's why they're asking for your consent on this form. And even if it's not a monetary value, like you said, they'd be willing to give permits for free to these landowners. of 5 acres or around there. But that's they want to get under control. And, this is just another infringement on personal freedoms and liberty. And the state coming in to control your land, it's just deplorable, don't you think, Bob?
I understand. Not only do they want to control your land, they want to control the animals that you have on your land with these national animal identification system nonsense. I mean, I also have heard, and this is not a joke, that, of course, globally they want a cow fart tax on every cow that
methane,
you have. This for global warming. You have to have, you count your cows and you say, okay, how many cows you have times how many times that they fart every day times how many days a year times how much methane divided by the coefficient of 7 or whatever.
Well, it certainly seems that the new administration is going to do this. Their climate czar or global warming czar is Carol M. Browner of the Sustainable World Society, which is calling for global governance. And, of course, she's there to address the economy and climate change. Perhaps she's the one to promote the carbon tax?
Yeah, well, why not? I mean, it's all about control. It's all about destroying private property rights. It's all about destroying the middle class. It's kind of commie, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. So aside from writing these people letters and calling their office, what can people do, Russell?
Let me go back on what you were just saying about the NACE, National Animal Identification System. Mm-hmm. We've been very, very much involved with that. We consider that to be a gross infringement on private property rights, and we've really been battling that. And we got a law passed here in Missouri to prevent mandatory premise registration. But of course, USDA is trying to circumvent that and keep coming up with ways to get it in there anyway. But there's much suspicion here, and I would not be able to document it. But there's much suspicion that this land registration with the Department of Conservation could very well be tied in to the USDA's premise registration for the NACE program. USDA does pay a bounty. They enter into these agreements with various organizations that if you'll go out here and get premise registrations for you, why, we'll give you so much money. So we don't know that to be a fact. But every time it's mentioned, that's the first thing that's brought up. Aha, it's the NACE. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But it's the same type of thing. They want to get a nexus formed with your property.
Well, you can put that in the category. I wouldn't put it past them.
Certainly can.
So, how do we take these guys on? I mean, these are the authorities. They're the ones telling us that they have all the power. That's not the case. This is supposed to be a government for and by the people. So how do we take that power back?
We work quite closely with our county government. Every county has some sort of commission that runs their county. And these are very much overlooked entities that have a lot more power than, they've been in our area. They used to be thought of just as sort of road district to maintain the roads, and that's about it. But by this handing out of our own tax money back to us through governmental agencies usurps the power of so much of our local government. And by working with these people and trying to point out that it's not worth getting that money back from them because of the strings attached and all of the requirements that money's never free. We send it to them and they send it back with conditions attached. We send it to them with no conditions except here, spend it. We also work really well with our state legislators. And you can always find some representatives or senators that will listen. I think I heard one of our senators state it quite clearly when he was telling some of his fellow legislators. He said, when you have a group in your district that can call a meeting and 400 or 500 people show up, he said, you better listen.
And, that's right. The power is in the people, and we need to get together. We need to form en masse. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm with Bob Dacey and Russell Wood. We'll be back after the break. It's the Alex Jones Show. We're in with Russell Wood, and Russell, finishing up, you know, obviously this is infringement on property rights, on a person's individual sovereign rights, and with, like, the NAIS chipping of all these animals, we're obviously against that. Why don't you give out a phone number that people can help you out at, Russell?
We have a website now. We didn't have last time, but as a result of our talk on your show last time, one was set up for us.
Oh, excellent.
If they will contact Ozarks PRC. Now, it's new, and it's not a, you know, it's not complete and fancy, but it'll be working.
And that's OZARKSPRC.com?
That's it.
All right, Russell, finish up one, just your last point, why you're doing this and why people should help.
We're doing this as a continued work in our preserving our property rights. And let me say that there is no substitute for personal involvement in these issues. We might wish in an ideal world that we didn't have to spend our time, energy, and money protecting our rights. But in the real world, that's exactly what we have to do. No one's going to do it for us. We had an example here in Missouri of legislation that was passed by a naive, uninformed legislature that thought they were doing the right thing. They had no reason to believe it was anything onerous about it. And we weren't even aware of it until it had become law. And we got involved with it, got the thing changed through public involvement. If you have to get out there and have meetings, have them. You know, invite the legislators to come and listen to what you have to say. In our meetings, it may sound rather crude, but what we tell our legislators is it's more important that you listen to us than that you give us a speech. And they accept that. And they are, after they get over the, you know, that's not usually the way they're greeted, but they appreciate it because they want to know what the people want. The legislators, they're not all crooks. They're good people that are trying to do the best they can. But unless you contact them and let them know, all they hear from is the other side. So we have to be involved, clear up to our eyebrows. And it may get to be a chore, but that's what we have to do.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take your calls in the next segment. Before we do, I wanted to go to this video. I forgot to mention it. Earlier we did a little 9/11 news. They're releasing the transcripts of many of their interviews. I don't know if they're all there, but there's over 1,000 there. I think something like 1,400. Daniel Sunjata, our good friend in 9/11 Truth, who is on Rescue Me. He was Reggie Jackson in The Bronx Is Burning. He's been in some major motion pictures. His character, Franco, which is on the popular TV program Rescue Me on FX, started talking a little 9/11 Truthski and Hutch in episode 2. We knew this was going to happen because Dennis Leary said that it was going to be one of the subplots. So let's take it away.
You're going to hear from me. You're not going to hear from anybody else because my opinions, well, let's just say they're not popular. 9/11, inside job, plain and simple. All you got to do is connect the dots And I'm not talking about the dots everyone's already heard about. I'm not talking about Bush sitting in that school reading a book about a goat to those kids for 7.5 minutes after he was told the news. Everybody knows that. I am talking about a massive neoconservative government effort. It's been in the works for over 20 years. You ever hear of PNAC, Project for New American Century?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Well, according to them, the end goal of their effort is American global domination. Full spectrum dominance, they call it. Now, The first question that pops to my mind is, how do you pull that off in this day and age? Well, according to them, you do it in four steps. First, we must control the world's oil, especially the oil in Central Asia and the Middle East. Now, I don't have to remind you that Bush Cheney, they came to power with plans already made to attack Afghanistan and Iraq. Number two, we have to make huge technological advances with our armed forces that for some reason include the capability to fight wars from outer space. Number three, surprise, surprise, huge increases in military spending to pay for the above, $130 billion a year worth. Now, never mind the sick and dying first responders, 9/11's heroes, who can't even pay their light bill, let alone their medical bills, and a lot of whom ending up homeless because of it. I guess there's just not enough room in the budget for them. Number four, and this is key, we change the definition of preemptive attack so we can unilaterally bomb the shit out of, invade, and occupy countries even if they pose no credible threat or had nothing to do with 9/11. One problem, how are you going to put it into action? I mean, the American people are never going to go for no shit like that, right? You're damn straight. Now what you need is an event.
It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com. Big ups to Daniel Sinjata getting that in the script of Rescue Me. It's always nice to see a mainline talk or a mainline show saying just that. It's an inside job by the well-connected. All right, folks, we're going to hit another news story in a moment. Then we're going to go to your calls in the last 30 minutes of the show. First, I'd like to thank everybody who bid and made it possible for us to sell the bullhorn for such a high amount. It's all going to go back into this office, and believe it or not, we do need the funds. We need more workers here. We'd like to put out three movies a year. You know, we have trouble putting out one or two movies a year. We'd like to put out three movies. We'd like to do more than 22 hours of radio a week. We'd like to do 45, you know, but that's not possible without your help. And another great thing going on if you're in Texas this weekend starts Friday, but there's going to be three seminars put on by the Heartland Emergency Center, heartlandemergency.com. And that starts on Friday, January 16th at 6 p.m. in Fredericksburg at the Ag Building, 95 Frederick Road, and Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. in Austin at Brave New Books. The good people over at Brave New Books put a lot of great things on, and that is at 1904 Guadalupe Street. This is your chance to learn everything you need to know about freeze-dried storable food. Again, Friday, the Ag Building in Fredericksburg at 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday at Brave New Books at 2 p.m., or you can call Heartland Emergency at 512-921-9015 or 9016. That's 512-921-9015-9016. And remember, it's heartlandemergency.com. We all hope you come out there. All right, before we go to your calls, I want to play this clip. Now, I noticed this in the news a couple weeks ago. People were talking about texting and how a lot of teenagers are texting each other with naked pics of one another. It's kid stuff. I mean, even when I was a younger guy and the internet wasn't that big, you know, kids are scandalous. Young people are scandalous. When you're in high school, you do some crazy things. But now, apparently, they want to charge some of these kids with pictures that are quote-unquote child porn. No, these are their teenage girlfriends sending them that, but they just ruled the day before yesterday that 18-year-olds were allowed to have sex with their high school teachers. Seems a little twisted to me, Bob. Let's play the CNN clip here.
Comes out of sending naked pictures of yourself to your sweetheart on the cell phone. They call it sexting. Great, they got a name for it. And now six high school kids are facing child porn charges because of it. Police in Greensburg, Pennsylvania say three teen girls sent naked cell phone pictures to three male classmates. Yes, they should be punished. The question, child porn charges, is that the way to go? We're taking your calls, 1-877-TELL-HLN. Joining me now, former sex crimes prosecutor Wendy Murphy, also with a sexuality educator, Dr. Sari Locker. All right, Wendy, let's start with you. Child porn charges, is that really the way to go here?
You know, it does sound heavy-handed, Mike, I have to say. On the other hand, there really isn't anything else to charge. So if you have nothing else and you want to stop the behavior, you use what you can. They're not going to go to jail. They're not going to become listed sex offenders. I guarantee this will be a plea deal.
No, but let's guarantee send a message that if they do convict them, they will be child sex offenders.
This is not a game. This is serious business. And number one, adults in the real child porn business will hunt you down and take advantage if they find these pictures, and they will. The other thing is, keep in mind, if you think as an adult child porn maker that you can use kids to do this stuff with impunity, you're going to use them as your mules.
All right, let's cut the clip.
You're going to walk away scot-free.
This is unbelievable to me. They're trying to associate this with child pornographers. Isn't that nuts? These are 16 and 17-year-old kids.
Well, I think that the 16 and 17-year-old kids shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I'm not applauding the behavior.
Because that shows some of the, you know, just the moral decay in the country and everything like that.
Sure.
But that... they're trying to turn this into a federal case here. You know, they're using that as an excuse. And I'm sure they'll use that as an excuse to go after everything, you know, go after the internet, go after the cell phone usage, go after whatever. It's always for the children. That is patently ridiculous.
Absolutely patently ridiculous. All right. We have a long tradition in this show of going to those who disagree with us first. So that's why we're going to go to Dan in Texas first. Dan, what's on your mind?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to get on the air to make a comment before you guys get all excited about Rescue Me having 9/11 plots. I'm just reading a press release from Dennis Leary here who said they had to get some suck plot lines out of the way first.
Yeah, I know
so,
that.
It basically just means that he thinks it's a bunch of BS. And I just wanted to say you guys report nothing but hoaxes and you're nuttier than squirrel shit.
So that's great. Let's get rid of him. we report nothing but hoaxes. Did we just report that they're going to charge kids with child porn for texting? But that's CNN report. That's a hoax.
That's a hoax.
It's a hoax that that Obama has a global warming czar coming on that's for global government. That's a hoax.
It's a hoax that the head of the CFR is going to be his foreign policy advisor.
That's definitely a hoax also. It's also a hoax that why doesn't so many people think alike? Because they're brainwashed, much like Dan in Texas.
The Trans-Texas Corridor is a hoax. The NAFTA Superhighway is a hoax. Everything is a hoax. Go back to your
Kissinger
watching your...
didn't go on CNBC this week and... basically call for a new world order under Obama. He never did that.
That guy hasn't seen enough American Idol. He needs to watch American Idol 24/7.
And you know what? The new cover of the special edition of Newsweek, if we can zoom in on that, that's not Barack Obama on the new global elite in the middle of Moloch. That's not.
No,
that's not what that is.
Those are not allies, and that's not a beak.
All right. Let's jump to Wilson in Michigan. Wilson, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm calling is because I'd like to bring people's attention to the larger picture here. I think a lot of times people get lost in the semantics of, oh, this person's a member of the CFR or the Trilateral Commission. If you understand history and you really look at it, you can see that what we're facing, the real enemy, is the British Empire.
Mm-hmm.
It's about sovereign nation states against the system of empire, and I think what we really need to do is focus on how to fight that system, not just the individual people that are members of whatever group.
Well, I'll say this. There's definitely some truth to what you're saying in that the British oligarchy still controls a lot of the monetary system and a lot of the actual infrastructure in not only this country, but Europe and around the world.
And in addition to that, guys, you know, you think about it, this thing about Barack Obama, if he was born in Kenya, mm-hmm. that was British Zanzibar back when he was born there. So it very well could be that the Redcoats have taken the country back over again, on the 20th.
Well, I think that this is an international crime syndicate anyway, and that's why, you know, in Fabled Enemies, I go over the International Intelligence Organization. I think that we talk about the CFR and the Trilats because those are outward think-type organizations that people can relate to and that are in the mainstream media. But obviously,
they were created by the British Empire.
No, the strings go further. I'm with you there, man. Hey, I encourage people to go check out, you know, all the Riddles and Stone movies are pretty good. The last one that I watched, the second one, not Riddles and Stone movies, what are they? America's Secret Beginnings, and Riddles and Stone is the second one. It really goes over how British influence is still around. I thank you for the call. We got a ton of callers. Let's go to Kurt in Colorado. Kurt, what's on your mind?
Hello. I'd like to thank you for taking my call, and thank you guys for getting the true facts out there for people. And, I think there's a lot of blind... ignorant people out there, but I think you're reaching some of them. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to say when I was 18 years old, it was law that you had to go register for selective service, in which mm-hmm. I did on my 18th birthday proudly. And The funny thing about it is, though, is I swore on a Bible and swore to God to uphold the Constitution no matter what the cost, and which I'll do. And I just wondered if you knew when Selective Service stopped or...
No, I mean, they still, at 18, I also had to sign over my paper. In fact, they make it a kind of fun thing in high school for us. They're like, oh, and you can also register to vote while you do this. So you're registering for Selective Service and to vote. It puts you into a database in case that they ever do call up conscription or the draft so that you're immediately put into there and they don't have to just, you know, start that program again. So you're already in the program. You sound a little older than me, so you're probably out of it since conscription is really 18 to 25, but 27-year-olds may be considered in the right situation. Who knows? Maybe they'll pull up to 30. All right, let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to John in Washington. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, how are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Mr. Cook, I believe that was his name, Russell Cook.
Yes.
Seems like a very smart, nice man, and but I think he's missing the bigger picture. I'd like to read something very short for you and hit one nail on the head, and then I want to touch on one other thing briefly.
Okay.
Sustainable development is a plan for global control using land resource restriction, social transformation through education and other programs to accomplish this end. The land use element of sustainable development calls for the implementation of two action plans designed to eliminate private property, the Wildlands Project and Smart Growth. What he's actually a victim of, and his and the people in his state are the victim of, is the rewilding or Wildlands Project, because it is a compartmentalization and it is a very difficult task. And what they're trying to do is trick those people into registering their land and doing the first half of the job for them. Mm-hmm. Later on, that land will be off limits. I'm looking at the map of the Wildlands Project, and in his state, about half of his state is red. Red is off limits. The other part is yellow, and that is the buffer zone for the off-limit zone. So I think maybe he needs to chase that rabbit for a little while and see what happens, because if he brings this to the front and accuses them, as I have done here in Washington, then he will get some additional attention, and they'll realize that they're even more awake.
Mm-hmm.
The second nail I'd like to strike is that moron that called you a little bit earlier and jumped your bones about being a profiteer.
Yeah.
I am so sick and tired of these phony patriots and their socialist mentality. Most of them are stinky, smelly old men who sit around and blabber and talk everything to death. And when you come right down to it, if you get to know them, they're taking checks from the government for unemployment, for SSI, LNI, whatever you know. They're usually on the dole, and that's why they have so much time to sit around and bump their gums. I'd like to say to this man a quote from the speech John Galt in the book Atlas Shrugged. It says that you demand your wages but deny us our profits, may you be damned. And little do you know, you are.
Great caller. Thank you. Thank you so much, John.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah, it's the truth, man. Listen, we've got to make a living here.
Ouch.
I mean, I guess I could go back to flipping pies, but I won't be on the radio, and then I'll just be making you your pizza. You know,
maybe you can get a job at NPR and have the taxpayers pay for you to tell the truth.
Yeah, maybe I should call up Air America and be somebody's coffee boy. That's what I should do.
Yeah, really.
Maybe I get to guest like 10 minutes a week.
You know, when that caller said that about you, I'm thinking, you know, you guys, a few years ago when you did Loose Change,
yeah,
you were sitting out there passing out free DVDs by the gross, by the thousands, to everybody who would take one.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, how dare I?
How dare you?
All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Raymond in Oregon. Raymond, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, I was calling about your Officer Jack, I can't remember his last name.
Jack
but anyway,
McGlan, yeah.
Right, Jack McGlan. He was in the military, and I'm currently in the Oregon National Guard, mm-hmm. and we're getting ready to go to Iraq for 10 months.
Jeez.
Well, yeah. Well, recently I had the opportunity to go up to our military command in Oregon and speak with a individual about some problems I'm having in the military. And I, during the course of events, I brought up the fact that I swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And he also came up with something saying that, okay, well, you also swore to uphold obey the orders of the President of the United States. And I pointed out the fact to him that my oath says to obey the orders of the president in accordance with law. Well, I pointed out that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and anything that violates the Constitution, any order, is obviously unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was a lawyer, okay?
Oh, great.
And he told me that, yeah, he told me that the law was there to go around it, to be, and, yeah.
It's always the purpose of the law. No, it is. It's to circumvent your constitutional rights and to circumvent the Bill of Rights. It always is that way. It's always to try to put you under a new mode of control. Continue.
Exactly. So I told him I didn't want to be in the military because it was a violation of not only my oath but the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote all this down. It's supposed to go to the Adjutant General of the State of Oregon. But the fact of the matter is that it's just there's a lot of people in the military that are beginning to understand what exactly is going on. And I'm working within my own unit to wake people up. I've woken, I don't know, 10 or 15 people in my unit up to the truth of what's going on. But it's just so difficult with people like this lawyer who believe that the Constitution is not the law and that the president's infallible and can do whatever he wants.
It's absolutely stunning, but that is the mentality. That's the mentality we've all grown up with, the commander-in-chief. You should be so honored. You know, it's like I had McGovern on yesterday, and McGovern, for conscription, said, well, I hope that if another Hitler arose in the world, that the people of this country would want to have conscription so that we could rise up and fight that leader. And I thought to myself, well, in actuality, Hitler never really lost because the people behind him kept power. We relegated the top Nazis into our scientific programs through Project Paperclip, not just our NASA program, which was born out of the Nazis, but our eugenics programs as well. They were just put under wraps. So in reality, that threat has never left. And, you know, the Constitution and Bill of Rights is supposed to protect us from those threats,
and
Bob.
The reason the lawyers, I hope I don't make any lawyers mad, I don't really care if I do or not, but the reason the lawyers say that you can just get around it is because they don't understand the Constitution. They were taught in law school that Marbury versus Madison means that the only people who can understand the Constitution is the Supreme Court, and whatever they say goes, Constitution be darned. Mm-hmm. I mean, they think that the Supreme Court is the living end of everything. They're taught that from day one in law school, but they forgot to read the part in Article, I think it's 3, Section 2, which says that The Congress has the power to limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. None of them know this, although it's in the Constitution. So the Founding Fathers never intended the Supreme Court to be the arbiters of what the Constitution means. The thing's written in English. You can read it for yourself. That's why lawyers don't get it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to another Oregon caller. Let's go to Henry in Oregon. Henry, what's on your mind?
How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I've been listening to you this week, and like to hear you talk, but I listened to you earlier, and you were speaking about going to the legislatures and the county commissioners,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're just a little out of touch there. You know, this government, as it is 110% corrupt from the meter maid to the president.
Well, when I was saying that, I was saying we have to run for those positions, not so much go and beg for our rights from them, but when that guy was calling up and saying that civil disobedience wasn't the only way, we also had to run for these positions, I agreed.
Yeah, I agree with you there, too. I ran for mayor in the town I'm in, and I was a victim of voter fraud. Had proof of it. A reporter came over from Medford and reported on it, and her report was dunked, and she went to Connecticut, and there was never nothing that could be done about it. These people are all in it together, and you don't get up to a position of power without becoming corrupt. And I don't know what the answer is to defeating these people, but I know it isn't going to the people who are oppressing you and trying to stop.
Well, I agree. I don't think we should be begging our oppressors for our God-given rights. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back for the final segment after this. PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com.
I was a highwayman, along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade.
Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade.
The master
I want to remind everybody, heartlandemergency.com, that's heartlandemergency.com, is putting on 3 seminars out here in Texas. First one is going to be Friday at 6 over at Fredericksburg. They're going to include speakers like Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, and the Freeze Dry Guy. So these are going to be fun seminars, lots of education going on. Friday night, January 6th, 6 p.m. in Fredericksburg, or at 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday over at Brave New Books here in Austin on 1904 Guadalupe Street. The phone number is 512-921-9015, 512-921-9015. All right, let's see how many calls we can go through in the last couple minutes here. I am Jason Burmis, riding shotgun with Bob Dacey here in the Info Warrior office. The InfoWars studio. Gotta love it in here. All right, let's go to John in New Jersey, who's a cop. So, John, what's on your mind? John, you with us?
Yes, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Yes, how you doing, buddy? I was on a couple of weeks ago with Alex.
Excellent.
I'm a first responder, 9/11 guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to thank all your listeners. I got so many good responses after that.
Oh,
it was
excellent.
Amazing. Yes, it was amazing. And the other knucklehead that just called in, mm-hmm. that said something about squirrel stuff.
yeah.
I guess you have a tendency to get those things.
Yeah, you're going to get those.
Yeah, you're going to get those hooples. On a lighter note, my brother is also a police officer in Jersey City and also the first-time responder.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going. He's running for political office, and he shares the same agenda.
Excellent, man. See, that gives me, that's very heartening towards me, because we just have a call. Don't go to the legislature. Listen, I'm not saying beg for your rights from these people, but when they first ask them, and then, or it's really not asking them, say what you want
as
people.
Them.
Yeah, you demand your rights.
You demand your rights.
And then when they say no, then run against them, take them, and then give all those other people that were in your situation only months or years ago their rights back. I mean, that's how we're going to take it over. I mean, it's slowly but surely. It's people like you and your brother taking charge, running for office, and really trying to take back the Constitution and Bill of Rights, John.
Jason, and, you know, essentially at the end of the day, we have to stop referring to things as privileges.
Mm-hmm.
Most things are rights.
Mm-hmm.
Most things. There are certain things that could be legally perceived, even on an idealistic sense. You could say, okay, well, they could be perceived as privileges, but these are all rights. They'll refer to as a license. Now I'm a cop for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these aren't privileges. Having a right to drive a car is not a privilege. It's your right. You can go to and fro from whatever location you need to go to. But I want to. I know you're running out of time. I just want to put out my brother's website.
You got it.
It's going to be jimcarroll.com. He's running with Lou Manzo. Now, if you could speak to anybody, any Jersey City listeners that can come out and help.
Listen, we do have a big viewership over in New York City and in Jersey City. I actually just got a text from one of my friends over in Jersey City telling me a plane went down in the Hudson. I'm going to have to check that out. But please, listen, all you listeners out there down in the city area, help this man. Help his brother get elected. That's how we're going to do it, Bob. We're going to elect each other into office. We're going to take the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and we're going to bring them back.
And
we're bringing it back.
The concept of rights as privileges comes straight out of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights at the UN.
If you missed any of this, you know, really world-class broadcast today with Bob Dacey and Jason Burmis, you can listen to the entire thing over at Infowars.com, where we replay all 4 hours, 24/7. You actually get the show 6 times a day, folks. And that takes a little scratch, a little capital, so we hope you become a PrisonPlanet.tv member or get a copy of Fable Enemies. God bless you all. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com.